Hey, what's happening out there with you? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Mr. Talk. And yes, y'all, it's Monday. Hope everybody had a great Mother's Day. You spent time with who you needed to spend time with. And y'all just had a good time. I'm telling you. So what's going on out there in the world? Huh? What's happening, y'all? It's been 3 days and some hours. It's time to talk about what we're going to talk about. Hey, today is Soapbox Monday, and I'm telling you, man, we got some things. Y'all want to know what we're going to talk about today? I'll let y'all know. We're going to talk about relationships, relationships, relationships. That's right. That's going to be the focus today. And I hope y'all ready for this. You know, of course, we're going to sprinkle a little this and that in also. So, go on, what I want y'all to do right now, go on to get that drink. Whatever you're drinking, coffee, lattes, milk of magnesia, whatever you're drinking, man. And just sit back and relax. Because this train is going on a ride today, and I hope you're ready for it. And along the way, we may have a couple of little surprises in there for you. So I'm ready. So I hope y'all are ready also. So for the next 10, 15 seconds, we're going to let this old nice groove play out a little bit. But then maybe we're not. Maybe we're just going to go ahead and talk over it. Hey, y'all, what's happening out there? I tell you, but that's a nice groove, isn't it? You mess around, get caught up in the groove and forget what you're about to say. I'm only human and I love my music, so it happens. It happens. Oh, man, I tell you. All right, y'all, we got a good one planned for you today. And, of course, on Soapbox Monday, we talk about whatever you want to talk about. We do. Now, I may start off with something, but by the end of the show, we're talking all about everything. But today we gonna get it centered on what they call that thing, relationships. Yeah. And you know what? We're going to we got a little special host that's gonna come with us in a few minutes. Miss Rain, I see you out there oh Lord, let me slow down. I'm talking too fast, man. What the heck is wrong with me? Like I've been doing some speed or something. I don't do drugs, so let me go on to clear that up. But Miss Renee, we see you out there on the line, so I got you. All right, DP, I see you too, girl. What's happening, boo-boo? Oh, Lord have mercy. And, of course, you know, the crew will be here. You know, hey, we can't have a show. Well, we can have a show without the crew. But what would this show be without the crew? You know, because they're being different opinions are just all over their place. So what would we do without them? But, of course, you know, as we always do, while we wait for everybody to get settled in and come into the chat room and all that good stuff, we're going to go ahead and talk about the house rules and things like that. Now, if you want to join the conversation today, though, don't feel shy. Just remember this. Nobody knows you, so you can say whatever you want to. We don't know you. We don't know how you look. We know how you sound. That's about it. So if you got something you've been bothering you and you want to get out and you don't really want to be known, hey, that's no problem. Just call in. Make up a name for yourself. Hey, you'd be surprised at the ones that do it. But anyway, you can call in at 347-838-8622. And if you want to talk, just hit the one key on the pad, on the dial pad, and I know you got your hands raised and you want to talk to me or somebody else on the line. Also, you can shoot me an email at ericglesstalk@gmail.com. I'm always checking it. I know when I get anything, so I won't miss it on that one. Also, I have a Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. You can go on there, post little things, post suggestions, you know, your little thoughts. Ask questions if you want to. Trust me, we'll see it and make sure it gets out there. So those plethora of ways you can stay in touch with the show and me also. And I'm also on Twitter at Driven4FRLife62. So there it is. It's out there. That's right. Now, with all that being said, we tap dancing and dancing and getting ready to do our thing here. We're going to take a wassa moment and just relax. All right, all that mess is over with. Now, let's get to getting, y'all, all right? Today is Monday, May 11th. Man, I tell you, it's the 11th of May already. Where's the time going? Hey, if you ain't got it right by now, you better hurry up and get it there. Your time is running out. All right, here's the house rules for everybody that wants to, you know, should most of you know. All right, the house rules are as follows. On this show, we encourage open dialogue, and we like to hear everyone's opinion. I mean everybody. We love to hear your opinion, okay? However, respect the other person's mic time. I want you to respect my mic time. I'm going to respect your mic time. You respect everybody else's everyone else's mic time. In other words, stop talking over everybody. Now, we know there's only a certain individual that continues to do that, but we're going to deal with that also. All right, respect each other's talk time, please. You know, because we can't understand anything if everybody's talking over each other. We know it may get a little heated, you know, every now and then, but we'll handle that accordingly on a case-by-case basis. But it will not be a continuous thing. Okay? I just want that to be heard. All right. Also, make your responses sweet and short as possible. We don't want to have all that craziness going on. We don't need a 30-minute dissertation for you to say a yes, no type of answer. All right, so we're going to be watching for that more today also. And, of course, my biggest thing, no personal attack. Don't attack the person. You can attack the conversation, the topic, something they said, but do not attack each other. That sucks. And, you know, if that's a man, that's not a good thing. Never is a good thing. You know, that just shows how weak-minded you are. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. And you know what? That's what I mean. And, of course, you know, as I always say and do, if you decide you want to, if you decide you want to violate any of those, you know, terms of the house rules, here we go. All right. And that's what you're going to hear. Now, of course, you know, if you're really violating real bad and you're on the edge of getting kicked out for this is what you may hear. See, you start hearing that countdown right there, and then you're going to hit that last nerve. You're about to get hit head. I'm just saying.
Press any key to return to the main menu.
All right, so I'm just letting you know it's out there now. All right. Enough of that. We know what's going on now, right? Right, all right. All right, here we go. Let's acknowledge some people that's out there listening right now that I can see that's listening. We got 214. Thank you for joining, 817-904 and 210. Hey, thank y'all for tuning in today. Now, here we go. I'm having a ball already by myself, man. I tell y'all, I'm telling y'all, man, I got mental issues. But it's okay. I'm going to still have me a ball. All right, y'all, here we go. Of course, like every show, we have a song of the day and quote of the day. Well, this is what I want to do. First, I wanted to do the song of the day. Then I thought about it. I said, nah, I want to do the quote of the day. Then I said, nah, I want to do the song of the day. So I flipped a coin, and it came up. Yeah, I'm not going to believe this. You know, you got a heads and tail, right? The dang coin stopped right there in the middle. It stood up. So I still had to decide. So what I'm doing, I'm going to go ahead and read the quote of the day. Then I'm going to read the, then we're going to listen to the song of the day. And then we're going to go on and get into the show. All right. Now, the quote of the day, and I thought this was very, very, I thought this was a very good quote. I really did. It made me think a little bit, so I hope it makes you think also. The really important kind of freedom involves attention and awareness and discipline and effort and being able truly to care about other people and to sacrifice for them over and over in myriad petty little unsexy ways every day. And that was by David Foster Wallace, the author of This Is Water. All right. And that was the quote of the day. And y'all ready for the song of the day? I'm telling you, here it is. I hope y'all remember. Some of y'all may remember this song. It's called Pay Attention. And here it is, the song of the day.
If you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere, you better wake up and pay attention. Hey. You think you got me?
All right, y'all. That's called Pay Attention from the Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit soundtrack. Hey, y'all, I just told you where to go find it if you want to listen to it. That is a deep song, man, I tell you. And you know what? And that's the truth, though. It really is. You want to be somebody, want to go somewhere. In today's society, you better wake up and pay attention. I'm telling you. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not calling anybody children dumb or anything like that, but I am calling some of the parents dumb. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't care. Get mad at me. And the ones that are probably getting mad are the dumb ones. But anyway, let me stop before I get in trouble. Oh, Lord have mercy, like I really care, right? It's my show. I say what the heck I want to. Anyway, that was the song of the day, man. Pay attention. Oh, Lord have mercy. Hey, check it out. Okay. Y'all ready? Let's get this train moving. All right. First story I'm going to talk about real fast, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines, and we're going to get busy. The other day, y'all, let me tell you what happened to me the other day. I went into a local, I was hungry. Okay, I was hungry. So I decided to go into a Golden Corral. Now, you know, around here, In my little neck of the woods, you know, we have military discounts because, you know, we have a lot of soldiers and what have you. Well, of course, being a retired veteran myself, you know, I'm asked because, you know, I want my 10% off too. So I asked, you know, do y'all have a military discount? And the young man, his name is Cameron. I told him I was going to put a shout out to him. But anyway, his name was Cameron. And he said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We do have military discount. So I said, okay, cool. He said, may I see your ID? No problem. Here's my ID, son. He looks at it and says, oh, I'm sorry. Only active duty gets the military discount. And I'm looking at him like, what? So what you're saying is I'm not a veteran? I don't deserve a discount? You know, and I didn't mean to get a little boy a hard time, but, you know, he said, hey, those are the rules, sir. I had nothing I could do. Now, here's my problem with this. Of course, you know, he's a young man. He's just working behind it, so he's got to do what he's been told, right? But when has there been a distinction between retired, you know, retired veterans and active duty veterans, huh? Well, I mean, what's the difference? Besides, one still going, putting on that uniform and doing PT and deploying, and the other one, most of us have already done PT, deployed, and what have you. So you mean I can't get my 10% discount? I don't want my 10%. You know what? I'm gonna go back up there. That's right. And I'm gonna do a live broadcast from up there one day, and we're gonna see how many veteran retirees get their 10% discount compared to the active duty people that get their discount. Now, don't get it. And let me put it this way. All this whole community I'm in is what? Retirees and active duty. So why all of a sudden is there a distinction between active duty and retirees? We are all veterans. Hell, basically the retiree is the actual veteran because the soldier is still a soldier. Okay, anyway. Anyway, I'm rocking and rolling, man. Y'all don't pay me no attention. It's my medication. They up the dosage. Can't you tell? Anyway. All right. Well, that's it. Okay. Okay, that was stuck in my craw, as them country folks say. So now I got out of my craw. I'm good. It's been festering for a couple of days. But anyway, now, as I said before, we're going to go ahead and get these phone lines open. Hey, Goofy Bone, I see you out there. I'm coming to you in a minute, my boy. But y'all know what? Let's get this first time call on the air. All right, 214, you're on the air. Welcome to Soapbox Monday. What's your name and where you calling from?
I'm Miss Ray Ray, and I'm calling from Flower Mail.
All right, Miss Ray Ray, how you doing today? What's going on? Let's give you some love. All right. I know you probably got a lot on your mind today. And that's good. That's good. Because we know what? I encourage the women listeners to call in because, you know, we got the crew of men. And you understand? So we love to have women call in and give their opinion and, you know, speak with the guys, and we all come up with a great some answers. Well, I'm kind of hyped right now, so I got to calm down. But yeah, I'm good. So welcome, Miss Renee. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me bring my other two people in, and then we're going to get going here. All right, 111, you on the air. What's happening with you?
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing, Michael? How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good, good. All right, Michael.
Well,
I wanted to address.
Oh, you want to bring the other caller in?
Yeah.
No, because I wanted to address that point. Okay.
All right, hold on.
On the veteran thing.
Okay. All right. Wait a minute. I forgot to bring him in. Goofy, you there, my brother?
You know, I'm so glad that first-time callers get the, you know, applause and stuff. I've been a first-time caller, like, I think 13 times.
Okay, you know what? You know what, Goofy?
No, but
yeah,
you know what?
You don't say the whole time, but you know what? Here we go.
Go ahead. And,
here we go. Here we go. That's for you, Goofy.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You know, how long do you want me to go?
No, not that long. Not that long. Not that long. All right, everyone, stop it. No, I wanted to do the same thing like Michael, address the veterans thing. But go ahead, Michael, I would like to hear what you have to say.
Wait, before we get started. Michael?
I'm sorry.
Michael?
Yeah.
Michael, you're there.
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm just going to have to tell you, bro. You know, I love it when you call in, what have you. But you know what, Michael? I'm going to have to put you on the time limit, bro. Because, you know, you get going and breathing like you preaching and carrying on. And nobody else get a time to anything. So, you know what, Michael? You're on a 3-minute time limit. Let me know when you're ready to start.
Wow, you're in trouble.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. You ready?
Okay. That's no problem, but we can address that later. But I just want to talk about this subject today. Oh,
all right.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Well, okay.
No. We're going to address what you just said later. But as far as what you were saying, I'm a veteran also.
Right.
And a lot of these businesses, they should specify a veteran. A veteran is a veteran. Whether it's active duty or not, it's a general station found a veteran. Now, the reasons why they may signify that as specified, because there is a different status when you're talking about a veteran. See, me as a veteran, I can criticize the president. An active duty military, quote-unquote military veteran, can't criticize. So there is a difference between me and you who has been in the military. You may be retired. I've done honorable time in the military, then an active duty. But now I'm just saying legally and politically that's how it's a difference. But far as a business, I totally agree with you. They should say, you know, veteran is a veteran. And you shouldn't signal out, you know, active military, because that's a bias. You're causing division. You know, you don't cause a division when you're talking about veterans, giving them a benefit of serving the country, you know. So, you know, there shouldn't be no difference. So I think if a business come out, they should specify veterans. And when you put veterans, that includes everybody. So,
All right. Thank you, Michael. I like that, Michael. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? You did that within a minute's time. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Okay. You did that within a minute's time. That's what I'm talking about, Michael. Handle your business. All right, Goofy, what you got to add to it?
Well, let me take his other 2 minutes.
Okay.
I think that was a total slap in your face. And you know what, Eric? You should have asked for the manager. And you people, you veterans that have put your life on the line to go out there and fight so I could sit on my ass and smoke weed all damn day. I respect you guys. There's three people I respect higher than anything in life. One is God, two is the IRS, and three are veterans. You guys have done so much to make us do what we could do freely. And for them to tell you that you can't get a discount because you're not an active member, I would have, you know what, I thank God I never joined the service. I was about to because of 9/11, but then I just didn't. But I thank God, because I would have went over that counter. I would have beat the crap out of that stupid kid. I don't care. Rules or no rules. Veteran is what you are, and that is what they have a discount for. And you know what, Eric? If you want to be, you know, all, you know, hardcore, I think you should go to a lawyer and say, hey, I feel discrimination right here.
No,
boom, get your free money. Get your free money, Eric.
Get your free money. You know what? It ain't worth all that, Goofy. It ain't.
Yes, I know what I did,
and I'm happy with it. So
you did what you did, and you put your life on the line. Nobody realizes what people who go into the service do. They put their life on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it proudly for this country. But nah, nobody sees that. Oh, go ahead, you know, go to the wars, you know, those people. But I mean, I love every single one of you guys that put your life on the line for this country. Thank you guys.
All right.
If I can interject here, let me interject a little bit as well.
Go ahead.
It takes a lot to put on a uniform every day and go fight a war and then come home. And we have a history in this country of not giving our veterans a hero's welcome. And even if it's a meal, small discount at Golden Corral, we should be able to give them that much. So I would handle it a little differently. Probably I'd write a letter to the corporate office. That's why they have email today. Probably call the manager and talk to them and see, you know, if they can't change the policy a little bit. Because you guys fought just like active duty fought. And you put yourself on the line just like anybody else. So I think everyone's entitled, if you've served in the military, to get that 10% discount. You're just entitled to it.
And, you know, every person, like say somebody's pumping gas and they got their uniform on, I'll go over there and I'll say thank you for your service. And a lot of people are shocked because they're like, no one has ever told me that before. And it's like everyone should tell you that.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you know what? Most of us look at it as though I guess like the normal person do it. Hey, look, that's my job. That's what I got paid to do. You know, I know that's how I looked at it. You know, and, you know, I took care of my soldiers. As long as my soldiers were good, I was good. So I just wanted to bring that point up. And I mean, it's done now. You know, it is what it is. I may go back up there and talk to the manager to get a clarification. You know, maybe the little young man, you know, really didn't understand.
Why don't you give me the information and I'll talk to the manager myself.
That's okay, Goofy. It's easier for me to drive up there and talk to him myself.
Okay.
All right. Here's another story. A town in Oklahoma. Let's see. They got the Ten Commandments displayed, and of course now a group. There's a group called
Atheist Group, right?
I guess it's an atheist group. I'm trying to see. I had it in here. But anyway, they threatening to sue the school unless they take Ten Commandments down. Oh, it's called, it's a Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation, a group. That's the name of the group. And, you know, they want them now. They threaten to sue the school if they don't take the Ten Commandments down out on walls in the classroom. Well, what kind of mess is that? Huh?
You know what?
What's really going on?
This is one of the loopholes of freedom of speech. They should also say, make sure you check the brains of the idiots that are trying to go against it. Freedom of speech, those are the commandments, you know? And regardless of what, the school has chosen to put those up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Those people in those groups, they don't go to the school. They don't see it every day, so it shouldn't affect them. Now, if those commandments were at every, you know, maybe liquor store or whatever, and they see it, you know, yeah, it'll affect them. Yeah, maybe they do have a right to talk. But we're talking about a school here where these people don't even go.
But, you know, here's the kicker. The only way they found out about it, one of the students secretly sent them a damn letter letting them know about it. I don't know why I can't say that word today. But, yeah, secretly
anonymous?
Sent them a letter. Huh?
Anonymous letter? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah.
Okay.
You know, some medication, you know, kind of messes up my tongue movement sometimes. But we ain't going too bad.
I'm Mexican, so my tongue curls a different way. So it's awesome.
Okay. But anyway, you know, and I just think that's just, you know, it just amazes me at you know, the stuff we have to, you know, they fighting over now. You know, that back in the day, it wasn't no issue over. You know, something you did, and you was happy. Okay, yeah, I pledge allegiance. But anyway, I guess that's just one of those things we got to learn to live with now. Everybody's against something, and most of the time it's against the wrong thing. Now, this is what made me mad, though, yesterday. Why are you going to start shooting during a Mother's Day parade? And this happened in New Orleans. Now they say at least 19 people were hurt, you know. And
I heard it was three shooters, but now I heard it's only one.
Huh?
I heard it was three shooters, but now I heard it's only one.
Yeah, they only showed the video of one guy that they're looking for, and they don't even think he was a part of the dang on parade. So, I mean, have we become that disrespectful now till we just decide we're going to go and shoot up anywhere, anytime we want to? What's going on?
See, people like that deserve to, like cruel punishment. Like that guy that had those girls in his house, he deserves cruel punishment. That idiot that shot up the crowd of mothers. I mean, come on, it's a Mother's Day. You know, I can understand maybe it's a Ku Klux Klan party. No, it's a Mother's Day party.
Right.
You know what I mean? What are now, I can understand if all the mothers were packing heat and they were ready, you know, to start some stuff, then maybe, you know, a son might be concerned. But no, this is just some random fool. I think he was arguing with his girlfriend or something. Decided to just, that's stupid, man.
Have our young people gotten to that point now to where, you know, they don't respect any damn thing? You know, whatever it is, whatever happens, happens. What's up, Michael Hood? I see you out there. Guest 1601. I mean, has it gotten that bad?
Are we failing
to raise our kids right? what is it to make you want to go out there and shoot up a dang old Mother's Day parade?
Well, I really don't think we're raising our children right, because
we're not showing them moral values.
We're not showing them respect. We're not. And I think the bottom line is parents of yesterday are not parents of today. Parents of today are young. They're so worried about the party and getting out there and having fun with their friends that they're not concerned about their kids left behind. And I think when they grow up and the kids grow up and they grow up alone, they don't grow up with any values, any morals, they don't grow up with any traditions, and then you put a gun in their hands, they're going to do the first thing that they know how to do, which is act out. And that's what kids acting out.
See, the parents nowadays, they throw them in front of the TV and expect the TV to, you know, be the babysitter. But let's not forget, if you leave it on a channel, I'm pretty sure they know how to change it. So whatever's on TV, that's what's going to be embedded in their brains. And the parents are dumb. They never realize this stuff. The beginning years are the years that's when you throw so much information into them, because that's what they'll become, because they'll remember that. Because the early years, those are the things that you remembered throughout your whole life. And nobody realizes that. Everyone's just like, oh, you know, I had this kid, you know, the love child. So here, let me just throw him in front of the TV and let me go meet some other guy. You know what I mean? That's how it is. And it's sad. And this is America,
now,
junkyard America.
Yeah, but nowadays when people do crime and stuff, you never can point at their childhood. I mean, we can see in society that no matter what background you're from, people going to do crazy things. How they were raised, I mean, we're finding out that people have been raised, how they, look at what we clearly can see in today's time, because I never stereotype people no more. I don't put a color, I don't put how your parents was raised to make you do nothing no more. We've, in current events, recently, we've people who have lived, quote-unquote, normally, parents have raised them, live middle class, have done heinous things. Look at this guy that had these women. They said that he was friends, his daughter was friends with one of them, had no clue, living an ordinary life. Me and you, people on this phone, would probably definitely think that this guy was an upstanding guy. But then we shun the people that may live in the hood or they may do certain things. Listen, anybody who does something like that, they have mental problems. Bottom line, and people, no matter what type of class you come from, no matter how much education degrees you got, we can clearly see it doesn't work. It's all about the mentality. And for us to have events like that from happening, we have to have a we have to change the way we think. And I'm sorry to say, that guy that shot, how is he going to look at the politicians? If you want him to go and where do you want him to change and go to? Is he going to go into a world of contradictions and confusion? Where is he going to run to? How do you want his mind to structure? Are you going to give him a certain steps that he should change his mentality and mind? Who is he going to look to? The politicians to do what he has to do? They lie. The politicians send men over to kill. Not saying it happened. We all need to change our mentality. Because these young kids can clearly see how the adults that run this world contradict themselves. And we're telling them how to act. And we talk nasty and talk bad about each other. So we have to, this whole society, man, don't put no incomes, no backgrounds, no age. And I say this and I'll be quiet. When it comes to young people having babies back in the day, a lot of people were young and had babies, and the community helped everybody out. And they were poor, and they was having kids like I don't know what.
All right. Thank you, Michael. We appreciate that. And once again, you got it in under 3 minutes. See, you got the mental clock going now, because I had you on the clock. But anyway, you made some point. You made an interesting point there. But I got to say, Michael, no, I don't think no one in the conversation at the time mentioned anything about where they live or their kind of economic background or what have you. We didn't even discuss that because we all are aware that that has nothing to do with the individuals doing these heinous acts. We already know this. As far as the politicians ain't got nothing to do with raising your child. I don't care what the hell you say. Now, you did make a good point that some of the parents, are doing do as I say and don't do as I do or whatever, however it's said. Now, we do have parents doing that. We must admit that. And maybe that's where they're getting it from. However, I just can't see that if you're raising your child right, just like Renee said, you're raising your child right, 9 times out of 10, this is not your child going to be out there shooting up anybody. I really don't believe that. It may be a mental issue, but Michael, you may
Hello?
You may hear about it being
a
mental issue, but it's just not. I don't think that is the key. I think the key is rearing the child up from when they're young. In fact, I'm going to give you an example. I was eating breakfast this morning, and this little girl, I said she had to be about 3 or 4, she ran from her mom. Now, she ran from her mom and ran under the table.
Oh.
Now, I know back in my day, if I'd have ran from my mom, number one, there wasn't going to be no running. But number two, if I ran and hid under the table, she don't care where we were. I was going to get snatched from under that table. Now, I sat there and watched this mom for at least 10 minutes trying to sit there and negotiate with this little girl to come from under this table. And we're in a restaurant, and I'm sitting here like, are you really negotiating with a child now? Has it gotten to the point to where we negotiate with our children?
The problem is, you observing her interaction with her child, and you're judging her, and your thought process is the problem of the world. What I'm saying is, you said if she was
coming
to her, then where
Michael?
Hold up. No. Oh, listen to me. Hold up. There's no common sense because there is no – what y'all saying is there's no – y'all assuming that if she snatched the child under the table like y'all want her to do, she is going to have a peaceful life. She's not going to make no crime. She's not going to have a divorce. She's not going to go to jail, and that's not proven. Bottom line. And what I'm saying is anything that we do, factual information, it starts from the mind. So what we put in these kids, the whole society is a reason why that boy did what he did. Everybody's responsible. Everybody, that's a fact.
Everybody's
responsible.
There's no facts because you have nothing to prove.
Let me tell you why that
situation that happened with Eric.
What made his mother that way? If his mother put something in his head, what made his mother that way, society, other people?
I don't think so.
What did he say? No,
Michael,
Go
ahead, Miss Renee.
I don't think society is responsible for his actions. I think he's responsible for his actions. You make a choice when you get up in the morning to decide whether you're going to put your pants on one leg at a time or you're going to walk around butt naked. He made that choice to go out there. He chose the time. He chose the gun. He chose to shoot. That's only up to him. You can't make everyone in society responsible for his actions. It's not comprehensible.
Michael, what I'm saying is, Goofy, get his in.
Then you can respond, okay?
Okay.
All right, go ahead,
Michael,
Goofy.
You can't blame nobody but the person doing the action, because the person is responsible for that action. Just because somebody's mad at, say I'm mad at you, Michael. Say you stole my lunch money. I'm mad at you. So what am I going to do? Go shoot up the teacher because you stole my lunch money?
No, what I'm saying is, okay, so watch it.
That's
now,
what you're
watch
saying. And there's your
Now, watch your contradiction. Y'all just said you blame it on the parents. Now, before all y'all saying that, I'm speaking fact. You said that it's the parents raising these kids right. So that's what y'all said. That's where it derives from. Then y'all saying you only can blame it on him. You can't have it two ways. And I'm saying, I'm going back to your point, the first point y'all made. And I'm saying all of us, if we, anybody who comes into this world, where do they get their thoughts from? The society. And who is society? People. Everybody else. People fighting amongst each other.
You're contradicting yourself, man.
If we realize that, then he won't be like. If everybody realized that everybody plays a part in what everybody does, right, maybe we'll change. But if we have, see, I'm a this, I'm that, they need to be like me, they need to be like me, there's no togetherness. We always separate. And I'm just
saying the same thing
that y'all said. When y'all blame it on the parents, y'all blame it on society. Because the parents is people. Society is who?
No, but the parent is a parent. It's separate from society.
Have you ever heard of a generational curse?
All right. Go ahead, Goofy, and then Miss Renee, you next, okay? Go ahead, Goofy.
Eric, I see what happened, what you described. Every day, parents, their kids run away, sometimes in the middle of the street, almost getting hit just because they're mad at their parents. See, parents, and we have to blame the law, because I remember if I did anything stupid like that, my mom would spank me in front of everybody and make me feel so embarrassed.
Mm.
That was the main thing in my mind, not to do that again, because I didn't want to get embarrassed. My mom didn't take me to the corner and spank me. Nah, she did it in front of everybody and made sure there was a crowd and told me to look at everybody while I'm doing this.
Mm.
And that was total embarrassment. I'm talking about when I was 5, 6.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I didn't. That's why I got in line, because I didn't want to be embarrassed. I didn't want this to happen to me. But parents nowadays, their kids run off. And they try to negotiate with them. Okay, if you're good, I'll buy you Legos or I'll buy you a Happy Meal, okay? And it shouldn't be like that. You're the parent. You're in charge. You're supposed you're responsible for putting this kid in line. And sometimes you have to use force. And I'm not saying just go over there and beat the living crap out of your kid. No. When he does out-of-line stuff, and I mean out-of-line stuff, call some other kid a bastard or, you know, some crazy stuff that you would never think your kid would do. You got to put them in line. And it's sad that no parents are doing this. They're just scolding them, maybe putting them in a corner for timeout. You know how many kids could just go in the corner and pass out without the parent not knowing?
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I have a lot of Section 8 women that try to do this stuff. And I'm sitting there high watching their kids, you know, getting in trouble and seeing the little things that they do to get out of it. And it pisses me off because I have no say-so. But yet, it's like she's wondering why are her kids the way they are. I'm serious. And then once I start trying to tell her, hey, you need to do this and do that. Oh, no, you have no right to say that. And then it's like, okay, then let your kids grow up to be stupid asses.
Oh, wow.
Seriously. Okay.
I'm a mother, and I'm a mother of five boys, and
well, happy Mother's Day. It's not easy.
Oh, thank you. It's not easy to discipline your children in society today. So, you know, you have to be creative in your ways of discipline. gone are the days when, you know, a mom could give a look and the child would behave the way that they should. Gone are the days when you could snatch them by the ear and, you know, take them to the car and wear them out. Can't do that anymore. You have to be creative in your discipline. But the discipline starts at home, and the discipline starts with the parent. And as I was saying before, have you ever never heard of a generational curse? Generational curse goes on for generations, and it's dysfunction, and it continues and it gets worse as the years go on because no one ever learned the proper way to do things. That's why you have the Ten Commandments in school today. You need them in school.
Exactly.
You need them there. So regardless of how you or anyone else feels, it's not society that makes people do what they do. It starts at home. And our homes today are broken. So what do you do?
Well, first of all, ma'am, I'm glad you say we need to start creative ways of disciplining our kids because a lot of people on this line want to go the old traditional ways. And if you go the old traditional ways, you can't be creative. But I want to address something now.
Right.
Because he's saying creative ways. He's saying that, I mean, the old traditional ways is beating them and stuff like that and snatching them up with weight. But she just said, come up with creative ways. And she's saying we were taught wrong. And I think she's saying you just don't have to do the old ways. But I want to say something else, though, ma'am, about what you addressed. Ma'am, you made a contradictory statement. You said You said that society impacts our kids or don't involve our kids. And you said the family. Your family is a part of society.
That is not what I said. I think you misunderstood.
When you say society, who are you picturing? You're not picturing aliens out of space. You're picturing everybody. Look, other people have effect on you and your children. Other people are society. Everybody's a part of society. So society is everybody, including me, including you. You can't separate yourself from society. So we all have to change. And when we don't, and when we divide, but I want to say something else, and I'll be quiet. It's not 3 minutes. You're goofy. You just gave a visualization of what your mother did. That did not make you a better person. Some people will look at your life and say, goofy, you're a gangbanger, you sleep around with a lot of women, you use drugs, you made bad decisions. That butt-whipping did not make you a better person. So that's why when you and Eric say, y'all need to do this, it will never guarantee a peace of mind in nobody's life. It hasn't.
Well,
it hasn't.
Let me tell you something, Michael. Let me tell you why that whooping made me a better man. Let me tell you why.
Okay, wait a minute, but go ahead. Let me finish, Goofy. You got a minute left.
Because some people going to
let me tell you. Let me tell you why, Michael. I'm glad you brought out my life. Look at me. I'm a gang member. I sell drugs. Right away, I should be in prison. But no. I knew when it was time to put it on cruise control, Michael. I got in line. I understood that, hey, there's only so much I could sell and only so much money I could get before it's all gone away. I know there's only so much gangbanging I could do before the young generation takes over. Come on, Michael. But the being in line kind of teaches you that, hey, you could do the regular lifestyle that you want, but as long as you check yourself where you don't have to be in jail all goddamn your whole life, sure, you could still do the things you want to do and enjoy the same things you want to do. Just remember in the back of your mind, just stay in line. And I'm going to tell you, out of all the shit I've done in life, I should be dead, Michael. I should be in prison forever for all the drugs I sold, for all the millions of fucking people who probably died off the shit I sold. But you know what, Michael? There's nothing I could do because that was my past. Shit happened. The only thing I could do is stack my chips and prepare for my future. But I'm still in line. I'm still out of jail. I own my own shit.
Yeah, that's but some people look at your life and say that you're part of a bad. Right, but I'm saying some people will look at you and say all that stuff. See, I know a lot of people that where I come from, black people that try to do you and want to be in your same position, but they got killed. And they say they're bad society. So you sitting up here bragging, but a lot of people, that lifestyle causes the hell of misery. People on this line right now don't agree with the lifestyle. And they were saying your mother probably should have beat you a little bit more. And I'm saying ass whippings never change nobody. Look at the people in jail. Ass whippings never change, stop nobody from being in jail. So we are all society, man. Your family is part of society, man.
The reason why I got in line was because, shit, I've seen all my friends in jail and in the grave over stupid shit. You know what I'm saying? Shit, this world revolves around money, Michael. And there's easy ways to make it, but then you're going to have a hard way to live it. You got to stack your chips to get out of that lifestyle. And the shit, there's not a lot of motherfuckers like me that could say, hey, I got out of that and successful. I put my money in the stock market. Shit, who would ever thought of that shit? But fuck, I made some proper moves. I even made some real estate. Fucking sold a property, a piece of shit junk place in Denver, Colorado. Just a whole block of little condos that were worth $5,000 each. I flipped those and sold those for $65,000 each. I'm telling you, Michael, there's so many millions of ways to make money, but my stupid mind was focused in one way when all I had to do was get in line and realize what other ways I could do what I got to do to live the lifestyle I want to live. People can do it. They got a brain. That's why we were born with it, Michael.
All right.
We can't blame nobody.
Thank you, Goofy. All right,
Mr. Talk.
I'm sorry.
You know, we all have fallen short. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have. And it's up to each person individually to recognize the things that you have done wrong and to then go and correct them. That's why we have a lifetime to correct them. We do only get one life, but we have a lifetime to correct them. And there is no one here that has not made mistakes. No one. We all have made mistakes. But you get to a point in your life where you grow up. And once you grow up, you can see beyond the childish ways that you did. And that comes from having parents that are there to guide you, having people in your life that are there to guide you, and moving forward with your life. And being an example for other people. And, you know, Goofy has changed his life. He's changed it. So, you know, you got to commend the man for stepping up and being a man. You got to do that. You have to. So I didn't contradict myself at all. I think you misunderstood.
He always thinks that people contradict themselves. But the fact that he throws out, he's contradicting himself. And it's sad. And I'm not picking on you, Michael. You're one of my friends.
Okay, well, Miss Renee, are you finished?
I am.
Okay, let me bring Vernon in. I see Vernon got his hand up. Doo-doo. Long lost Vernon, where you been at, bro? What's going on?
Oh, man, just same old, same old. I've been listening in, just been had raised my hand in a while.
Oh, okay.
What's up, Vernon? How you doing, man?
Oh, man, all right. How y'all gentlemen and ladies doing?
What are you doing, man?
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what we were talking about there, but I was listening to him talking about discipline and all that different stuff. And hey, you know how I feel about that. You know how I feel about the discipline thing here. I got a pattern that I use and tend to work. I'm not saying that it's the perfect pattern, but no, I'm not gonna. If my kid do something wrong, I'm not gonna jump up and just. Teddy ass up first time they do something wrong. I'm going to give them warnings. You know, I always take things from them, and once I see that's not going to work, then I resort to that big steel, that big piece of power that I got, that belt wrapped around my waist. You know,
mm-hmm.
I believe in that. I believe in that as a last resort. I'm not the one to throw that out the door. And like Michael said, it don't always work for everybody. And that's true. It don't work for everybody. You got some people that just problem that are going to be a problem regardless of what you do. But if you get back to discipline and get away from all this this candy ass raising and like you said, sitting there negotiating with a kid, man, and that's what the world done turned into. It's negotiating with people, man, the kids and stuff,
yep.
Man. You're negotiating with them. Everything they do, you want to. They think somebody's supposed to negotiate with them and have a big ass pity party with them and sympathize with them and reward them for everything that they
bad.
Do right or wrong. So, but you know, I just don't. You know, I believe in discipline. You know, and I tell anybody this, I tell the law this, if they got a problem with it, damn it, if you don't like the way I'm raising my kid, you take them with you. If they call you, you take them with you. I won't have to worry about it. I love them to death, Joe Eric. I love my kids to death, man. But I'd be damned if somebody gonna tell me that I'm wrong or I'm too mean or I'm being abusive just because I whooped the ass. You know they're not doing this. If they feel that way, then they can take them with them and raise them themselves. You know, that's just my thing, man. And I think anybody that feel like you can let a kid do anything they want to do and just sit there, you're going to sit there and keep on talking to them. But they keep doing the same thing over and over and over. You done took this, that, and punished them here and there, and you still not resorting to, what do we call it, corporal punishment? You're not going to resort to corporal punishment because you don't feel like that's right. Some kids, you taking things from them. Even adults, some of those people, you taking things from them, don't do nothing because they find something else to get into.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Right. But hold up. But this is the thing,
though.
Wait a minute, Michael.
Now, you know, and that's an important thing. You know, I you know what? And I always say this. And here's my point. You know, I think a lot of times those that are against punishing your child, they get caught up, they get mixed up in the wording, you know, how we say it. You know,
mm-hmm.
Now Vernon brings up a very good point. You know, and even back in the day when my parents used to tell my butt up, you know, before it came to that point, as Vernon said, there were warnings. That, you know, there were other forms of punishment that were given out before it got to the point of beating you behind, you know, but I understood the beating you behind more than anything. And this is why, because this is how I feel about timeout. You put a child in the corner, talking about you on timeout. Now, knowing the kind of kid I was, who mine was always moving and moving and moving, only thing I was doing was thinking of something else I can get in trouble about, you know, something else I can do while I'm just standing there. You know, so once I'm free out of timeout, shoot, I'm ready to go and get into something then because I ain't had nothing but time to stand there and think about it. You see? So I understand the creative ways, the discipline and all that good stuff, but I'm old school. And I done told you so many times, there's no more telling, all right? I'm tearing
exactly.
That ass up.
There's only so much you could tell.
Yeah, now see, Michael is one of those individuals that likes to play with the words. You know, he's a word man. You know, if you say beating, that to him, that equals to abuse.
You see, equals to the beating of Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, well, he don't believe in Jesus, so. But anyway.
Well, no, I'm just saying, though.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Right.
Don't say that, Eric. You're going to get something started.
Oh, those people are going to sue you, Eric. They're going to make you take that off your show.
It's my damn show. I say what I want to. I told y'all that. But anyway, that's all I'm saying, man. You know, punishment, look, punish your child how you want to. All right, it's that simple. However, if you you know, and I believe what the Bible say, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. You know, that's not nothing that's just said. It's proven. Every day, it's proven. You know, now, you know, we wants to, you know, we're so educated now and advanced to where we are, you know, we are the experts in everything. You know, you got an expert saying, well, if you beat your child now, as they get older, that promotes violence, which is what the boat Michael likes to ride on a lot. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you beat your child, they're more likely to become, productive citizens more than anything if you do it the correct way. Now, we, in society today, we stuck on abuse and we say beating, no, you can't beat your child. Don't beat your child because the only thing they picture is you punching somebody in the head. That's not what we're talking about.
In old school,
that's what it was called, beating. Now, Michael also say that, well, you know, that's a slave mentality, and that's where it came from. Whatever. I'm just going to put it out there, whatever. You know, it worked for me. It worked for my child now. And, hey, I ain't got no problem, my brothers and sisters. But hold on, we got somebody else with their hands up. So, you see, y'all about to get me on the soapbox now. To go, and they told me I'm supposed to be a preacher, and I keep telling them no. But, anyway, let's see who we got on the line.
All right, did I break up this little conversation between you and Goofy?
Started, Michael.
Oh.
What's going
on, Mr. Joe? Hey,
Goofy.
How you doing?
Joe.
Hey, Joe.
What's going on, Joe?
Same old.
Joe, say hello to Miss Renee, first time caller.
Renee, a female, thank God.
I see you guys need a little female action in here.
Yeah, thank the Lord.
Yeah, we always need a female in here.
You should call every day. Are you single? How many kids? And don't worry about that.
No.
Don't answer the questions. I'm only kidding.
Sorry, but
Joe,
I don't mind answering the questions. You know, I have five boys ranging from the age of 30 to 8. And I have a wonderful husband who drives trucks. So
All right, enough of the questions. Never, enough of the answers. Thank you very much. Okay, never
mind. You sound like you're in your 20s. Damn, you're doing good.
She sounds young.
I'm not.
She said you were younger than me.
Well?
I'm not. I'm sorry.
So you're going to tell me Michael's not here today? He's good.
Oh, yeah.
No, Michael's here.
Oh, no. Michael, you said you weren't going to show up.
No, exactly. But we can get to that later. Because you need to be addressed, Joe.
Contradiction.
Because you're the problem of the world, Joe. No. Seriously,
All right.
What happened? But we can go ahead. I'm not going to. I'll leave it for my last comments. But we can get into it if you want to.
We're not going any further than what we already are right now. All right.
Exactly.
Renee, welcome to the madhouse.
Thank you. Hey, I can hold my own, you know.
All right.
Yeah. So we was talking about discipline, Joe. Basically, that's what we were talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I heard you and Goof, I heard your philosophy, and I think you probably know this, I happen to believe in the same philosophy you do. If you not beat a child, but if you apply corporal punishment in the right way, it's a lot better than just saying, okay, time out.
Yep,
because I think pain is the best educator of us all.
Well, no, because see, if my mom was to hit me, you know, just me and her, she just hit me, it wouldn't like really affect me. But she made it to the point where it would be in public, you know.
Wrong.
No. But I would do something, you know. Say like I was at McDonald's and maybe I kicked a kid or something like that.
Oh well.
You know what I mean? Yeah. She would, you know, hit me like that. She wouldn't just wait for me to, you know, go outside and then say, "Hey, everybody, come on," and you know, just beat me. But no, she made it, you know, made it.
Yeah,
the
but
fact
how did she
that,
beat you and for how long? Because if she hit
you. No, she would just spank me. Spank me like 3 times.
Oh, all right.
In front of everybody.
That's not bad.
I mean, it's not like beatings or anything like
but
that.
But even
like
if
Michael
you're sitting kicking a kid, let's say you were running around the store and she just grabbed you by the arm and she got a little bit frustrated with you and she started spanking you. Do you think that's right or wrong?
I get the warning first.
Okay, that's cool.
And then after the warning, it's a melee.
Oh, all right. Because I don't believe in corporal punishment publicly. I think that humiliates a kid.
Look, when I was growing up, that's one thing that in my family, it was known. You embarrass me, I will embarrass you. It's none of that blatant crap. You know, if you go out there bold enough to go out there and do whatever you're gonna do in public, then I'm gonna be bold enough to tear your butt up in public. You know, but it wasn't something that had to be done every time you went out. That one time you did it, you understood. Look, mama not playing. I need to do exactly what she said. And I know Vernon probably understand this too. Hey, we got a David Daly site not there in the chat room, y'all.
We got who?
David Daly. Yeah.
Debbie Daly.
Oh, great. Now the white woman has came to our show. Hello, Debbie. How you doing, Debbie?
Yeah, back to what I was saying.
Hey, Debbie.
Where's Mr. Solutions?
Did you bring your new sidekick?
Gentlemen. All right.
Debbie's going to call in a minute. I know her.
Let's get a hold of
it
now.
Love you, Debbie. Happy Mother's Day, Debbie.
All right.
All
right. Thank you. Now, anyway, as I was saying, but it just took that one time, that embarrassing moment, one time to get that understanding. And as I was about to say, you know, before you got out of the car, you got that briefing. Don't touch nothing. Don't ask for nothing. You know, and you understood that point.
You know who I wanted to spank in public?
Embarrassing, huh?
You know who I want to spank in public?
Oh no,
Debbie Daly.
All right.
I want to spank that ass.
You know, I think Michael brought her over here because Michael's been on her show lately, trying to be like Mr. Solution.
Let's say what we're talking about. Miss Renee, what you think about that?
I believe in spanking.
You got five boys, huh?
I do, and I raised them to recognize that when we're out in public, you need to behave accordingly. Because if I have to say something to you, it's on and popping. And my boys knew already that if I had to tell you more than twice, you're going to get knocked out. So I believe in taking that belt and wearing that behind out, but I believe there's a time and a place for it. When I believe in creative punishment, I believe that everything has an age-appropriate thing. When they're little kids, 2 and 3 years old, popping them on the hand and telling them to no is not wrong. Even putting them in timeout so they can recognize and get a little restraint on themselves is not wrong. When they get to be 15 or 16 and they're bigger than you and their voice is deeper than you, you got to change up how you do stuff. You got to find their courage.
But I'm glad you brought that up, ma'am. Ma'am, I'm glad you brought that up because the host of this show disagrees with that. And he's basically saying, I'm raising mine wrong. What do you mean, Joe?
Oh, well.
No.
I'll talk to you later, Joe.
No.
I just
want
to make this question. What if...
You dare me to what?
I want to hear the contradictions, but I'll be quiet.
Oh, boy.
Thank you. Now, what I said was... as a man, now if I got a 15-16-year-old boy living with me, and damn, he's bigger than me, then no, I'm not going to try and beat him with no belt. Yes, I said it. I'm going to put my hands on him to let him know that I am the alpha up in here, not him. That's what I said, and I still stand by that.
Because of a man, you're psychological. See, you always come
Michael,
with this man
Michael,
world.
Michael,
you
listen to
what
I'm saying.
Bend, yo.
Look.
Stop living in
look.
See, listen, right now, as I was saying, two alphas cannot be in the house at the same time. Somebody has to show that they're dominant. And I'd be damned if a teenager is going to do what he wants to in my house as long
That's
as I'm
right.
feeding him and putting clothing on his back.
Was
now,
that Vernon's last...
Yeah, once
hey,
he gets his job and get his own house, he can do what he wants to. But as far as me, and I know he's bigger than me, yes, I'm putting my hands on him to show him I am the man. You still growing. You need to do as my house rules go. Now, if he think he's big enough, hey, he can roll out. I'll support him all the way. But we're not going to have him in there running the house, and I'm supposed to be the man. I'm paying everything. Hell no.
Eric,
it's not happening.
Eric.
What?
Eric, when I was growing up, my daddy had the fear of God in our hearts.
Thank you. Thank you.
If God had came in that house and told us to do something, I'd be like, hold on, God, let me go check with my daddy first.
I know. You know, and I understand Renee got five boys, so, you know, that's testosterone all over the place. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Ooh. But look, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this one thing. When my husband was gone on the road and I'm home with these boys, I'm the chief alpha in the house.
Right.
All of them bigger than me. And I'm the one that they come to for the things. But when my husband comes home, he's the head of the household. He handles the business that needs to be handled. And one of my boys busted up on him one time, he threw him straight out the door. Called the police on him.
Yeah.
And my husband,
Do you have a sister?
Yes, I am.
Do you have a sister?
I do.
You do? Is she single?
No, she's not.
That defeated your purpose, didn't it?
But you know what?
My husband
will handle it.
Mm-hmm.
He will handle his business, and it's my job to stand behind him and make sure that everything's working the way it should be working. So my boys knew they couldn't go between us, and when discipline came down, it came down hard, swift, and they felt it really well. So, you know, all of them bigger than me, all of them except for that 8-year-old, all of them are bigger than me. And they all try to manipulate the system. So, you know, I believe in discipline. I believe in corporal punishment. I believe in being creative. And when I say creative, when they get to be 16 and 17 and they don't come home for curfew on time, you got to be creative with that punishment. Because at that age, you can't spank them. You can't. You just can't. So you have to realize that spanking comes at an appropriate time.
I agree with that.
Where's Michael? I haven't you've zapped him, and then what did he do? Go to Bizarro Land or something? He didn't come back?
His mic is open. He's just waiting.
He's all right.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, see?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you, Michael.
Oh, well, I'm listening. I want y'all to play in here. Y'all contradicting. Y'all going in circles.
Absolutely.
I just want to say, I know a lot. Listen, what y'all talking about hasn't solved anything else neither. Mm-hmm. It hasn't. How can you say that is going to be a perfect formula for them not to get a divorce, for them not to hit their girlfriends, for them not to miss a bill one time, to be this perfect citizen
Michael,
and not make mistakes?
Michael,
why are you cutting me off? Oh, my God.
Because it's my show and I can. Now, listen.
Exactly, but you're contradicting yourself, though. You said you're going to give me 3 minutes.
Michael. Now, listen. Where in the world did you get about paying bills and beating on girlfriends? See, once again, you done went all out there to the extreme.
No, what I'm trying to tell you is you guys are saying, I'm going to do this, and I'm saying, what is your result? Your result is I'm going to do this to make them out of a certain thing. So in life, they can have certain results. And I'm saying what you're doing can never be promised. Look at
Michael.
Jay.
Michael.
Hold on. Look in the internet and ask how many mothers do what y'all do and they still have problems. And I'm going to ask you, he said sometimes they do something else and it doesn't. Most of the time, sometimes when you do what you do, discipline them, chastise them, what if it doesn't work then? So what if that doesn't work?
God, he just keeps on talking like the freaking energizer.
You know
no,
what?
No, Joe,
you know
he's
what?
On the screen.
All right, all right. I'll keep,
you know what I
right.
think? I think each household is individual.
Thank you.
Works for your house may work for your house. What works for my house definitely works for my house because there's nobody going to run over me. And the bottom line is if you let your children run over you now, then they will run over you later. So you need to get them while they're young. You need to make sure they understand the rules from the day one, and you need to make sure that you follow through on anything that you do. Now, if you're going to sit here and tell me that because you didn't spank your kids, they're going to grow up to be perfect, no. Or because you did spank your kids, they're going to grow up to be perfect, no. That's not proven. You're right.
Thank you.
That's not a contradiction. But the bottom line is that you have to do what's right for your household. And as long as your kids are following the rules and doing what they're supposed to do in school and out of school, then they will be productive citizens. They have no choice but to go up.
So,
they're not going to go down.
So if both of them are not proven, so you said, I love this. So if both of them are not proven right, people are picking the violent way. You know why? Because they're expressing their emotions out. I know when I
why
said that I didn't say, have fun in my heart.
Violent?
Listen, man.
Why does it have to be violent?
Not, Man, because clear what violence is. That's a fact. When I chastised mine, I was violent,
you know,
and I did not
okay.
have love in my heart. That's
Michael,
a fact.
Michael, she
violence
summed up.
Yo, hold up, Joe.
What
you did the other night, Joe, don't say nothing to me, man. Because
what I say, what I do.
Michael,
what you did last night was the reason why we have affirmative action in this world.
Why
we have racism. Yes.
What I did last night.
Yes, Joe. No, the other night.
Oh, the other night.
When I was called a pedophile.
Okay. But I defended you.
All right, don't worry about it. Okay, he's going on to the left field right now. Let him come back to center field and we get him back. But anyway, you know, what Ms. Renee said is right, and I agree with that it doesn't guarantee that the child is going to turn out right. You know, however, it does let them know that there's a consequence for their reaction. But anyway, you know,
I mean,
if you do this wrong, you're going to be punished for it, regardless of who you are.
Yeah.
Huh?
I think Renee summed it up perfectly in less than 45 seconds. Whatever works, works. If corporal punishment doesn't work and timeouts do, or some other type of punishment does, that's what you use. If those types of punishment don't work and corporal punishment works, that's what you use in order to produce a child growing up to become a productive citizen. Well,
but you have to give that child some boundaries and head calls. So I think that's the main thing. All right. We're going to move on from this.
And even though she's agreeing with Michael, Michael doesn't understand that she's agreeing with Michael, but that's Michael.
Of course it is. Let's talk about something else real fast.
Okay.
Right, Goofy, you better come back. You
know, where did Goofy go?
I don't know. He dropped. Back in here. I know we always talk about prenuptials. How about postnuptials? You have anybody heard of that one?
That's like when the horse has left the barn.
Yeah, that's like when you already married. Ain't that something?
Well, how are you going to... This I'm interested in. I've heard of it, but I haven't investigated. I'd like to know how you're going to get a woman who's already got her man tied up within those wedding rings. How is he going to get her to agree to what he wants now that she's married
and by
the law is entitled to half his wealth?
Well, basically, postnuptial agreements are voluntary contracts between couples who are already married and can cover a wide variety of issues, including conflicts over finances, property, assets, children, support, and probate matters. So,
they cover the same things prenups do. But how are you going to get somebody who's already gotten the law on her side?
Okay. Well, not necessarily. How about if they get married?
Yeah.
And then she's not making a lot of money. Then all of a sudden she comes into a big windfall.
Right.
He wants to protect that.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think she should do a prenuptial, or should she just leave it at the mercy of...
Wait a minute. You're talking about prenuptials or
postnuptials? Postnuptials. Because it's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same principle.
You're protecting
what's yours.
All right. So you're saying that she's married. She hasn't been making any money. He's the major contributor to the marriage, but now let's say she's won the lottery.
Right.
Okay, and your question is what?
And she wants to protect her money in case they decide to split.
He
wants some guarantee that she just won't roll out and leave him with all the bills.
Well,
you know. It's something like a prenup, basically. It's something people want to sit down and talk about and...
I understand.
You know, but like you say, the horse has already left the barn. They married, but, you know, does that make sense?
But I don't understand. I understand the principle, but I don't understand where the leverage comes in. If you've already gotten what you want, why should you change what's, you know, a winning situation?
Well, I think it depends on the situation, how you handle finances. A lot of times in marriages, you have people, one person in the marriage spends and one person in the marriage saves. Or you have people that don't manage their finances well. And if that's the case, then I could see one or the other one saying, hey, we need to make arrangements here so that we make sure that the one person that's got the money is secure enough in order to take care of themselves if they do break up. But if you're married, I think you need to look at it from both perspectives. It's both of your money, it's really both of your money. You're supposed to put it together. It's both of your money. So it depends on the person in general, because you have content of character of people who are selfish.
Well, yeah,
and that
that's
selfishness will come in. So, you know.
Well, that's my point. I mean, what's the motivation? Let's say this girl, going back to Eric's example, the girl didn't have to contribute anything to the marriage because she wasn't making money. He was making the money. Now she's gotten this sudden windfall. So now she's thinking, my money is my money, his money is my money. What's the motivation behind her saying, sure, honey, I'll sign over the $5 million lottery I won. I'll make sure the $2.5 million go to you in case we break up. What's her motivation?
Well, I don't believe that there is any motivation, but I do believe that if he's been taking care of her all this time and she's just not been working or she's been a domestic engineer, then she should make it available for him to be just as secure as she is.
Oh, I agree.
Wait a minute. Miss Renee, what you call it? A domestic engineer?
Yeah, a domestic engineer.
Yes, a domestic engineer.
Okay.
Oh,
sounds like a feminist term to me.
No.
Yeah,
I believe that women work just as hard in the house as men do outside the house.
That's what I'm saying. There comes the feminist streak. Okay.
Are you a domestic engineer?
I am not a domestic engineer. I'm a hard-working individual. I work very hard, but I don't work in the home. I have a full-time job.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I figured you might have been a domestic engineer for you to.
I've never
come
been
up
a domestic
that.
Engineer.
All right.
I've never. I'm just an educated black woman.
Okay. I thought the hidden feminist was in there somewhere.
Here we go. Look, I see Joe. Here comes Joe.
I do apologize.
Wow. What's going on over here?
Oh, Goofy's back.
They hung up on me.
They hung up on you.
They must have thought you were Michael.
Yeah. No, I ain't hang up on you.
Is Debbie still in the chat room?
Yeah, she's still in the chat room.
Hey, Debbie, get your ass up here on the phone.
Oh Lord! No, we ain't
gonna... Come on, Michael. Tell your friend to get up on the phone. Well, she's my friend too.
That's not Michael's friend.
Look, why y'all? Yeah. Oh, look. Leave Debbie alone. She wanna come.
Why Michael always gotta be the center of attention? Debbie can take care of herself. You've been on her show lately, so I figured you all were friends. I thought you were in a revolving door.
Michael, you're not the center of attention.
But you know, I made you change the introductory music, Mr. Tuck. I'm proud of myself.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I pointed out. I'm the one that was in that chat room who pointed out your contradiction about mystical. You were talking about hip hop and all that. So I.
Slappers. Michael, at least one thing, you've got the Guinness Book of World Records for being zapped as many times as you have on Blog Talk Radio.
You know what? That's a shame. But anyway, as we were saying, so posting up is basically the same principle as a prenup, except you know, it's to protect each other, right?
Mm-hmm. But okay. I think that again begs the question: what's the motivation of the person once you've already entered the the sacrament of marriage for them to give up anything that they've acquired once they're in the marriage? They've already gotten what they wanted.
But what if they're acquiring stuff constantly while they're in the marriage?
I think as Renee was saying, if the woman or the man is not a selfish human being and they truly love the wife or the husband, they should be glad to have, I guess, to engage in this post-nuptial agreement. But I think if you really want to find out how strong the ties are in the marriage, introduce that post-nup and let's see what happens.
All right. Renee, Miss Renee, would you sign a post-nuptial agreement?
I would not.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Why not?
All right.
But I would not put my husband in a situation that he would ever have to suffer for anything. That's the content of my character.
Mm-hmm.
So I
now, you're a good woman.
Wait a minute. I want this explained.
You're a good woman right there.
I want this explained. You would not.
How about a first cousin, Renee?
My husband would not have to. My husband would not have to worry about another thing. I would take care of my husband forever. And I would expect him to do for me if he came into some money or whatever.
Right.
And I would expect that from him. After being married, as long as we've been married, it would be cheaper to keep me anyway.
Yeah.
How long have you been married?
It is probably
How
cheaper
long have you been married?
Over 20 years.
Okay. I can understand your feelings then.
Yeah. Yeah. So my husband would never have to worry about anything ever again if I came into money. And
right,
that would be including my whole family. So it wouldn't just be me. It would be me, my mom, my brothers and sisters. So I would take care of them all.
Okay.
That's just who I am.
I know. So, in other words, if you came across a $5 million windfall because of the lottery, and your husband said, you know what, sweetie, just to make sure, why don't we have a post-nuptial in case, for whatever reason, that the marriage may crumble either now or sometime in the future, that half of those proceeds belong to me, even if you leave. Would you do that?
I would not do that because, first of all, when we got married, we went under the assumption that this was for life.
I see.
So there's no purpose for us to even mention the divorce.
No,
first.
Of course not. No.
But you have to work through your own relationship.
Right.
That's totally up to you. I mean,
I understand.
I can only speak for myself.
Yeah.
I can't speak for you.
No.
I can only speak for me.
For you.
Oh, man.
Now, if he wants out, the door is there. It swings both ways.
Absolutely.
I'm
You're
not
a
trying to
feminist.
Hold on to somebody that doesn't want me.
Feminist.
No.
I'm not a feminist.
You're a feminist.
Please.
And that's being kind.
No.
Yeah.
Why? Okay,
so
why does that make her a feminist?
Oh, because she gave the same feminist crap. You know. Well,
I'm definitely far from a feminist.
Okay.
I'm far from a feminist.
Yeah, yeah.
Far.
Well, you see, if you weren't a feminist, you would have
said...
No,
I'm a Christian. That's different.
But it's good. You're a Christian, but no feminist.
It's different.
Yes, of course. Huge difference. Oh, like
it
feminists
is.
Aren't Christians, and Christians aren't feminists.
No. I just believe that, you know, my
I think there's personal attacks going on in here.
What happened?
I can handle it. Trust, I can handle it.
Oh, come on. I haven't attacked her. You've heard me attack women. Jesus Christ.
No, I'm not a feminist. I'm not a feminist. I
no,
believe that men
you don't want to sign
are
the
meant
post-nup.
To be in the world, not against men. I'm totally for men. Actions
speak louder than words.
I have five boys. Five.
Good.
And I've raised them to be strong
Absolutely.
Men in their household.
No, of course.
So if I was a feminist, I would probably be belittling them a little bit and making them weaker men than they should be.
I see.
But being the mother of five boys, I want them to be the head of their household. I want them to be strong.
But,
I want them to be fathers and husbands.
I know.
I want them to be strong.
But, ma'am, when you say strong, what do you mean by physically strong, mentally strong?
Mentally. Physically, I want them to be able to handle anything.
Right,
that is
right.
Important.
My
boys
can
cook. They can be loving husbands. They can be all of those things. All of them.
Right, ma'am.
If I was a feminist, I would be totally against men, and I'm not.
Listen up to me.
I'm not against a man, either, but I tell you a fact. Now, watch this actuality. If you had a daughter. Another daughter, mentally, you will raise them the same way as your brother. I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking about dressing with a dress. But when you tell your daughter and sons, you're going to tell both of your daughter and sons, go to school, get an education. You're going to tell both of your sons, be strong. Don't let nobody dictate to you. Mentally, you're not going to tell nobody that, man. There's no difference when you're talking about men and women, human beings, having a mental process. Now, when we talking about men strong, I'm trying to give you a picture. When you say men, I guarantee you, everything that you describe a man should be, a woman is the same thing, unlike excluding physical. Has to be. You want your
Wait a minute.
You
Before you go off on
a
tangent and you think I've got contradictions going on here, hold on a second. When I say strong, men. We live in a society, we live in a world where there are a lot of weak men. They run from responsibility. They're not there for their children. They're not good husbands. You've got a whole list
a
of people that make them not strong, okay?
Well, women do
that.
Wait, hold on.
When I'm telling you that men are men, I'm telling them that there's nothing wrong with them being the head of their household. I'm telling you that there's no problem with them being able to cook dinner for their wives if they need to, or change a diaper or play with the kids if they have to. I'm telling them it's okay for them to do inside work and outside work if they're able to do that. I don't have a problem with them bringing
home
the
kids. If you raise your sons that they're going to have the last say in that woman's life, and dictate that woman's life, have the last say, you say, the head of the household. No, hold up, ma'am. Men on this phone says that when they say they're the head of the household, they're the leader in the relationship, and they always have the last say, and they always have the last say. And me as a man, because they call me gay when I say that, I said there's no leader. A compromising, when two people are in a compromising situation, there can't be a leader. Because when you say a leader, you're separating a leader from a follower. There's division. Compromise, there's no division. But they're saying that they have the last say. And I'm telling them, no human being would want to be in a relationship where the person totally dictates their life. Because you said if a person has the last say,
I didn't say anything about dictating. You're
like,
tripping.
No.
You are totally
on, man.
On the left field, bro.
Ma'am, no, man. It's a
contradiction.
No, 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 no,
no. The
man has
the
last say in your relationship.
You clearly are missing something
here.
Hold on. Look, when I say head of the household, my husband doesn't dictate anything to me. Nothing. Nothing.
Does he always have the last word?
Things. Listen, you need to stop cutting me off and let me just go ahead and finish. Look, when I sit at the head of the household, when you have five kids in the household and you have lots of things going on, there's always going to be somebody who's not agreeing with somebody. So you have to be the bigger person. And sometimes it's him. And sometimes it's me. And we make
that's
that
right,
decision
right.
Together.
And you know why? Because
and his word is
right,
the last
you
word.
Know
I
why?
Go with that.
Right, and ma'am, I'm going to speak fact, ma'am, and I don't mean no harm because you're in a compromising, you know
back
why? Because both of you are in a compromising situation. There can't be a leader. It's like the brain.
There has to be order, man. There has to be some kind of
and
order.
And I'm letting you know, if he was leading you, it couldn't be because you're causing division. Listen,
no.
If both of y'all are supposed to be
you're
the king,
you're causing order, dude. What planet are you on?
Listen, hold up, ma'am.
Okay. God dang, Michael, you keep saying the same thing over and over and over.
He's contradicting himself. He's contradicting himself, and that's a fact.
In all actuality.
I mean, it's
Y'all wrong.
Oh, wait a minute, Mr. Talk. Did you mute him because Debbie Daly told you to mute him?
Oh, you know, come on now.
What, did Debbie Daly say that?
Yeah, she said that.
She says, host, control your show.
I always mute my...
Debbie, you know better than that.
I hope she didn't get better.
I mean, no, you guys understand what I'm saying. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, going to say it again because it's kind of hard to hear with, you know.
It's not a feminist action that I'm saying.
No, of course
not. I'm saying that in the big scheme of things,
right.
That in the end of the day,
yep.
If we have a conflict between the two of us, we make a decision, and his word is the final word.
His word is always the final word?
Not always. No. We have a conversation about it.
But we
present a united front with my children, then my children will know that, you know,
Let me ask you a question. Let me bring up a hypothetical, okay? If, for example, well, you say you have kids from 30 to 8, how many kids are living with you at home?
Five.
All right. Now, let's say he had to move, let's say he wanted to move from that neighborhood to another state in order to get a better job, and he wanted you to come along because, naturally, you're his wife, and he also wanted to send the kids away to boarding school. But you didn't want to send the kids away to boarding school.
Uh-huh.
What would happen?
Exactly what would happen is what we did. We moved from one state to another state because I wanted to.
Okay.
It came freely.
All right.
And we've made our life here very well. As far as moving the kids away from boarding school, I am a mom. no mother really wants to send their children away. So that would be a negotiation.
Okay.
Why do you want to send them away? What is the purpose of you sending them away?
All right.
There was not a legitimate purpose to send them away. They weren't in any kind of trouble.
Well, let me finish.
They weren't in any kind of trouble. They weren't doing anything that was out of line. He just wanted them out of my hair or his hair. That would be a situation that we'd have to deal. And I'd probably say, no, I don't think that's something we need to do. And he would respect me on that.
Oh, so in other words, you have the veto. Hold on, Mike.
I don't have the veto.
Okay.
It's a matter of working as a team.
Michael,
yes.
Mike.
Can I ask you something, Renee?
Go for it.
Oh, Vernon, let me hear.
If your husband told your kids something and you thought he was being a little hard on them while he was gone driving trucks or whatever, would you define?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Let me get back to the boarding school. Now, suppose he says to you, he doesn't want to send them away because he doesn't want them around, but he's saying, well, you know what, if these kids go to this particular prep school, most likely they'll be able to get into an Ivy League school. Would you go along with that?
Once again, it would have to be on an individual basis because I have five different personalities that I'm dealing with.
All right.
One of my kids is in a private school as we speak right now.
Okay.
And the one that's in private school now, he's doing very well. But I would not have put my older one in private school. He wouldn't have been able to handle it.
Okay,
he wouldn't have been able to handle it. So
here's the point, though. Here's the point. If he says he wants to put his foot down, he really thinks that the older one should go, and you don't want him to go at the beginning, would you acquiesce or would you fight him until when?
I would not fight him until when. We would make a decision. And when I say I wouldn't fight him, I would say, okay, if you feel that he really should go.
She didn't say which decision
it,
Mike. You haven't won a victory
yet. If you feel that you think he could do it and you think he would be successful in doing it, then fine, we'll go ahead and send him. But I disagree with that choice. And if it looks like he's not going to be successful, I have the option of pulling the plug.
Oh, okay.
That's where that would go.
That's fair.
We give him the option of going and seeing if it was something that he would enjoy doing or that he'd want to do and that he'd be successful at it. If he wasn't going to be successful, then we would make sure that he would be removed from the situation and put in the situation that would be
better for him. But I also agree that you have the option to pull the plug because, you know, you should have some input into that as well.
Yeah.
Joe. Please, can I say something, ma'am? What would be the purpose of sending the kids off the boarding school?
Well, like I said, if they can get the kids into prep school, because the prep school would be able to get them into an Ivy League school, and if the Ivy League school can get them a foot up on the socioeconomic ladder, then why not?
Can I say something, gentlemen? Ma'am, what you're describing me, I'll applaud you, ma'am. Listen to me.
You know, Eric, you got the patience of Job.
let Michael
know what.
Why are you applauding me because
you're defining what I'm saying. There's no leading your words, ma'am. And I hold up, ma'am. Please give me 3 minutes. I'm speaking fast.
Well, you got your 3 minutes.
It is delusional. It is delusional, ma'am, if you say that you have a leader in your merge. You say that you had a right to pull the plug. A leader, forget influence, the leader makes the last decision. That's why a leader can be a dictator, ma'am. When you and your husband got married, when two people are in a compromising position, ma'am, they can't be a leader, ma'am. And even if someone says, I'll give you the right to make the last decision in this area in my marriage, both of y'all are delegating tasks, right? You also can take that task away from me. There's no leader. And I'm saying if you're in a compromise and we're supposed to be one and you call a person a leader, you have to be causing division, ma'am, because the leader says he's separate from the father. That's a fact. So what I'm saying is when it comes to a husband and a wife, it looks like the brain.
Boy.
You have the left, you have the right.
Don't we all?
First of all, let's
get that 3 minutes.
Hold on.
Miss Renee,
let me
get
a 3 minutes.
I'm getting confused here.
Wow. All right.
address some of the things that you said, okay? First of all, you said that there's no leader, but we do have a leader of the whole country, okay? And he just doesn't lead by himself. He has a lot of people around him that help him make the decisions that he's going to be the leader. The same goes for a household. You have people in the household that have opinions and decisions and want to do things on their own, but you have to have a sound mind.
Man.
That person is going to make the decision for everything. And you have to be willing enough to be,
Man, just cut me off. I'm sorry. I had to stop this. And Joe, I want to let you know, Joe, I want to address you something because what you did. Man, the president is not a leader. He does not make the last decision.
Lord.
He compromises. Man,
let
he is not a leader. A leader makes the last decision. He is not a leader, man. He's a president would tell you it's in checks and balances. A leader, he doesn't have checks and balances.
Why do you have to go through this?
He makes the last decision, man. A leader can be a dictator. You're not. When you said that you can pull the plug, that means.
No, I'm done.
Man, you're contradicting yourself. You're separating. When you say your husband and the leader, y'all work as one. If y'all both in the compromise, when two leaders from different nations come together and they compromise, when two leaders from different nations come together and compromise at the table, at that point, there's no leader. Both of them are compromising. No one.
Are you getting
a
headache yet,
Renee?
Oh, yeah. I have one about 20 minutes ago.
Okay.
You saying a leader is more than the followers, and there's no more in the merge. That's our problem, ma'am.
Listen to me.
It's
okay.
Being,
all right. All right. Thank you, Michael. Okay, hold on.
Is her marriage successful?
Yes, it is.
Then there shouldn't be a problem.
Hold on. Let me. Oh Lord, have mercy. Let me bring somebody else in.
It's common sense. Get in here,
Debbie. Somebody else in. All right.
Debbie,
Miss Lady,
call in.
Miss Lady, how you doing?
Oh, this is funny. Well, listen. I think we should go look up the definition first of leader. What is a leader? Could you look up the definition and read that of leadership and what a leader is, and just start from there.
Okay, lady, why don't you start
because
off?
Because I think what Michael's trying to get at, to be honest, is the potential for really a leader becoming a dictator. I think that's what he's trying to say, is that he wants more egalitarian relationships. I think that's what the issue is with him. I'm not sure. We can ask him. But I think we need to start this.
Yeah, that may be, but that's not the. That's probably not what's going on in Renee's marriage.
So people are interpreting words differently, and that's why I think the definition, starting with a clear definition, may help.
Let me tell you something. It wouldn't matter if we had the clearest definition on the freaking
planet. We got a clear definition. We definitely have a clear definition.
Can you go? Because I'm driving. Can you go? Because I can't look it up. I mean, you know. But could you just go to the dictionary or encyclopedia, wherever you got to go, and just read what the definition says?
Well,
it's not a matter with Michael.
God created man, and from man God created woman, and man shall be over all. So that's what a leader is. I mean, come on, y'all. Why are we even going through this? We just sat here and let Michael take us to some
leadership.
Thank you. No, Michael. Michael was arguing over a leader. Let's be honest now. Miss Lady, no matter what you do, you go to a lot of meetings. All right. There's always someone who steps up and takes control of the meeting. Right. Even if you have a vote coming, there's always someone that steps up and takes lead. Correct.
Yeah, but you know
but
what? It can be fluid.
Yes.
There could be a permanent leader. Somebody else's leader that time. So it could be fluid as well as permanent, a permanent position of leadership.
Right?
All right. But I think we should start with a definition.
You're on that Michael kick today.
Can we just, you want me to give a simple definition? Maybe we can move on. Would that be okay?
I know what the Bible says, so
that's
what I'm saying. Huh? Go ahead.
Okay, a leader is somebody who other people follow.
Is that what it says in the dictionary?
I don't know, but why don't we move on? Because otherwise we could get bogged down.
Yeah, well, we done got balled. That's why we about to unbog ourselves and roll on this.
Let's get out of this quagmire.
We just got led into this argument that we always get into when Michael comes on about leading, take the ship, and ain't nobody talking about that.
All right, where are we going now?
So here's my thing. Yeah, I'm just going to put it out there. This is it. You know, in every relationship, there's someone that's going to be ahead, and there does take compromise, so forth and so on. You know, but, you know, as in everything, someone, you know, takes up the lead and does whatever. It could be the woman or the man. Who knows? The only thing I know is, as long as they having a good relationship, why bother it? You know what I mean?
I agree. I think.
Can I just say something? You know, women aren't boys, obviously, or men, so we don't really know how it feels like to be a man, and a lot of the issues and how men's perceptions, we can speculate, we can hear the men speak, but we don't really know, just like men don't know. So maybe when it comes to boys and young men, because the man is a man and he understands what it is to be, you know, a male, then maybe he should have more of a say and an input into the direction and the choices for those boys. However, if he's a smart man, he will definitely listen to his wife. And he will seriously consider her female perspective, because females think usually globally while men think more linear. So and vice versa. If it's girls and females, maybe because the mother is the female, she understands how it is to be female, what females go through and feel like, she should probably have more of the final decision when it comes to her daughters. However, she should seriously consider her husband's input, because he's dealt with females. He married one.
I think Renee has that kind of marriage.
It's only one thing. It's called respect. You have to respect each other. And if you don't respect each other, it's not going to matter who's the beginning or who's the end. So you have to respect yourself first, and then you have to respect your relationship, and then you have to respect yourself. And if you can't do those three things, not necessarily in that order, but you have to deal with that at one point in or all points in your life. So you have to be respectful of yourself first. If you can't respect yourself, then you can't do anything else.
You can't respect anybody else if you can't respect yourself. And so you're absolutely right. And I think it sounds like you and your husband have a great relationship. Congratulations on that. That's one. My Lord, that's not easy. That's a lot of testosterone. Oh my God.
Well, some people try to take that thing head of the household and try to push it a little bit farther than what it is. We're not actually saying that you sitting there, the man sitting there just dictating every damn thing to go on in the house. And if the lady get up and take a piss, you got to ask them before she go. And if the kids ready to go to sleep, they got to ask them before they can close the eyes. We're not talking about that. I mean, some people try to push it overboard when you get to talking about man being the head. We're not talking about a dictatorship. You got your own mind.
Exactly.
Yep, I agree.
Use your mind.
I agree.
Exactly. So do you still think I'm a feminist?
Huh?
Do you still think I'm a feminist?
Oh, of course.
Oh, whatever.
Of course.
Whatever.
Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah.
I just want to ask Miss Lady something. Miss Lady, and, you know, we say this all the time, if you want to know what a man think, that's easy. Ask him. Yeah.
I mean, we do, but I don't know how it feels.
I don't know all the stuff that goes into
a man's perspective. Yeah. So I just think that, and same thing, you don't know how it is to have a menstruation and how your body feels and all the stuff that goes along with that. So you really can't really identify. That's what I'm saying. There's a lot of things that we will never understand completely.
Okay.
And so that's where I'm getting at.
I think we can all agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah. Oh my God, we got peace and harmony for about 5 seconds. Holy shit.
I agree with that. Well, the peace is about to leave, trust me. All right. 111, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is me again. You had me unmuted a lot. But I just want to say something that, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's funny, but when y'all listen to yourself, When you listen to yourself, well, the reason why I'm saying it's an illusion, because when you tell our men that they're the leader, when you have your rhetoric would just say, I'm the man, I'm the head of the household, I have the last say. When we have a crisis, the man, just because he's a man, he automatically has the last decision because he's the leader of the family. He has, and I'm letting
but
you
know,
when you put that, hold on, you cut me off. When you put that in our when you put that delusion in their head and think that they're going to be in a compromise, that's not a compromise. That's not, that's no one. If you have that man in that state, there's no one. He's not going to be a compromiser, man. And what I'm saying is you're contradicting yourself. And I'm
okay.
In the definition of a leader.
I think
the
you,
definition,
I think you,
the leader makes the last decision, bottom line. Forget
informed
consent.
And that's all I'm saying.
All you
I'm agreeing
he
with that.
He makes the last decision.
Michael,
she
agrees with
you.
Michael, you don't. Why is it you never recognize
both,
when
on,
people
listen,
agree with you?
If both people, listen, if never. Both people make the.
Okay. She agreed with you, Michael. Why are you still talking? She agreed. Let me bring 870 on the line and see what they got to add to the conversation. 870, you're on the air. What's on your mind? 870-522.
What 870 are you talking to?
Well, damn, Vernon, what you doing? You got two lines open?
No, no, what, no, 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 no. I mean, I fell off, man.
Oh. Oh, what the
and
heck?
Call back.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what, man? We got two lines. Okay. I thought you were being Houdini or somebody.
Oh, I'm so glad that Renee showed up. This is good. Are you going to come more often, Renee?
I will try. I'm off on Monday, so Mondays are good days for me.
Okay, good.
You
know,
we
need more women.
Yeah,
oh, what?
Agree.
Did Joe say that?
And
wait a minute, did Joe just say that, y'all?
I always say that.
Oh, but
did I hear Miss Lady?
Yeah, you heard
Miss Lady.
I heard Miss Lady.
Oh, hold on, I got a question. I got a question coming out the chat room for Michael. All right, Michael.
Michael,
are you there? I know you got to be there. Michael. Okay, he's checking on our contradictions right now.
Oh no.
Okay, he's going back to the now.
Oh Jesus!
You know what happened? His handler's caught up with him. You got to go back to that.
I'm here. I'm listening to you. I'm here. I have a question.
Okay.
I'm listening.
All right. Look, somebody in the chat room wanted to know how's that working for you? Your thought process on leadership and. Well, let's clarify something. First thing, you don't believe in anything that the Bible says, because the other day you said the Bible was wrong, right?
What do you mean?
Also, just what I asked, Michael.
Oh,
you
no,
said
no, no. What
day,
is
listen,
the question? What is
the
question?
What is
the question?
God damn it, if you don't shut up, we won't hear your answers.
Yes.
Man, I'm
listening to you.
Hey, damn.
You're giving me background information. You're not. I'm still waiting for your question.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
What?
Michael,
how
look.
Okay,
but okay. Just a few minutes ago, you said there's no leader, no dictator, and so forth, all that other stuff you said, because that's why you talk so long. I forget what you say. But anyway, here's the thing. The other day, you said the Bible was wrong about lust. So with your the way you interpret. Your belief. No, you hold on. Now, are you basing the beliefs of what you feel a relationship should be about on your belief that the Bible is completely wrong about this? Yeah, I know. I went somewhere else, but I want to know.
I don't understand you. First of all, I never said the Bible was wrong about
love. Yes, you did.
First of all, I never. Okay,
you did,
so what do you mean, okay, in what way? In what way? Wrong about what? Oh, no. Oh, yeah, you're right. If they say lust is a sin, yeah, they're wrong because if you're saying lust is unrighteous, I lust after, look, my future wife, I guarantee you I'm going to lust after her before I marry you. I guarantee that.
Future wife. Oh,
when you say lust, you're saying I'm visualizing having sexual relations with somebody in my head. And I'm saying that to me that's not a sin. So what are you talking about? I said that's a contradiction. We all do it. All ministers are going to lust. That's a fact. You have to lust every wife before you get.
So
so if that's the case, Michael, just because everybody does it makes it that the Bible says it's wrong, wrong?
What do you mean? Wrong is your perception. What I'm saying is you're saying natural stuff that men do is wrong, and I'm saying, what is your righteousness? You don't have no clear picture of what's righteous. They give you a thousand lists of what's righteous.
Like
no, I don't understand the question, though.
So I have a question for you, Mike.
I can't even express myself.
Okay, all right, Michael.
Can I ask
you? Okay, I'm listening.
Now, you just told me perspective-wise. You know, you with the attitude that you put forward, it's going to be really hard for some young woman to take into consideration that you are serious because you don't have any direction in your thoughts.
Oh, don't get them started.
I have a beautiful woman in my life. And ma'am, I talk no
but
different,
man.
You did
say future wife. You did not say wife.
Electrodes coming.
I'm with a beautiful woman right now, and I talk no different. So why are you saying that?
Because
but
you're very argumentative about things that aren't necessarily an argumentative point.
Hold on. Man, preachers argue all the time. Religious people argue all the time. They get on the stage and say, them people are not like us. Everybody argues. What it is, you don't like what I say. And what it is, I will point the contradiction.
Half the time I was
we always do it. I'm always argumentative. The reason why, because I'm not saying what you're saying. Mike.
You have more patience than
you,
Eric.
Mike, it would be hard for me to believe that you're not a dictator in your house because you are never wrong, man.
Listen
to me. I'm a single father because I'm a dictator. I got my sons. But what I'm saying with me and a woman are together as one, okay, there's no leader between me and her. Now, if you're talking about my sons, we're talking about male and female. And people always say, well, what about a business? Oh. Fuck a business. I'm talking about male and female. Human beings
talking
about
male
together.
I'm talking about male and business. I'm talking about male and female. It ain't my fucking business. I really ain't fucked up about your relationship, homeboy. Let me tell you that.
I don't have a woman stand with me right now, Brian.
Only thing I said was, if the way you carry on this fucking phone, I can tell you don't listen too goddamn good.
Oh, you're a liar. You're a liar, man. How?
No, you don't listen to shit.
That's your theory. That's your theory. Listen to me.
All right. Miss Renee, since you are a first time caller, what would you like to talk about now, ma'am? All right, y'all, we finna roll in the hour. We gonna roll into the quiet hour. So if you're not on 347-838-6222, you got about a minute and a half to get on there because this when it gets really hot when y'all can't hear it.
All right, call in people. Then
okay, Miss Renee, what you want
to
talk?
I'm gonna take it to here. You know, Michael is on left field, but you know, so many men are in left field. So I have a question for all your brothers out there. You know. How come it is when you get into a relationship, you really do not know how to successfully stay in a relationship? What causes you to go the wrong way in a relationship?
So you mean like going chasing other women or going to hang out with other people all the time and not pay your woman any attention? What are you talking about?
Just in general, why do men, or women in that case, but mostly men, what is it that you're doing that causes a divorce?
A divorce.
Okay. Oh, well, now you asking me for my own personal experiences.
Not necessarily just your own personal experiences, but what are some of the things that happen to end the marriage?
In other words,
I mean you have to ask some of the other guys because I never planned on either of my marriages ending. So,
Either
of the other person. I was married twice. I've been married twice.
Uh-huh.
I'm being honest. I never plan on either one of them.
Nobody ever does.
You have to ask some of these guys that maybe done got a divorce and filed for a divorce because it wasn't my idea.
Well, what were you doing in marriage to help it to fail?
Why do you presume it was his fault?
I'm not. Because it takes two people.
Well, yeah,
What was your part in it?
I give
my example. You know, I was in the military. She was in the military. So, and at the point that we were deploying, you know, when I'm coming back, she was deploying. When she was coming back, I usually was going over. So that put a lot of stress, you know, plus you had kids, three kids involved in it. And the biggest thing, though, I have to say, the biggest thing was allowing her family to stay in the marriage, if you know what I mean.
You know,
Good point.
That was the biggest thing with me, you know, steady, you know, every time I turned around, her mother was calling, yelling and screaming about something that just wasn't true. You know, and then as I came back, you know, I was hit with PTSD, which I didn't know it. So I had changed a whole lot. And she was, you know, she was going through the same thing, but we didn't realize it at the time. So, you know, it came to the point to where we just could no longer live in the same house. I mean, we just couldn't. Because I was tired of her mama always getting involved in her things. And then she called from overseas yelling and screaming at me. And I'm not one to argue. You know, so it took its toll on me to where eventually it had to end. So that's what happened to my second marriage. My first one, heck, I got married on a promise. That's all that was. I got married on a promise on the first one, you know, because I was young and dumb. And, you know, that was it. So I don't know if there's a specific reason. That was a specific reason, but I think it was, you know.
I think Miss Renee looking at this from a standpoint of a lady that believes in upholding her vows and everything, and you know, a lot of people don't look at it like that no more. You know,
well,
not just
you know,
women, but me and Ida.
Yeah, in a lot.
Well, no. This is my second marriage. This is my second marriage.
Yeah, in a lot of instances, people forget to do what it took to catch the other person.
Yeah
feminists usually average 2 or 3 marriages.
Whatever.
That's
20
years long.
Well, you know,
the average is about 21.
We should be asking you, what have you done to keep yours lasting so long? That probably would alleviate some of these divorces.
There's some
out there need that kind of advice.
Yeah, because everybody here bachelor.
I think from a woman's perspective, I mean, nothing is always rosy. Everything's always perfect. You go through trials and tribulations through the years. You have ups and you have your downs through the years. Children come and then they move on to greener pastures. But you have to have, I go back to this thing that I said earlier, is you have to have respect for yourself. If you respect yourself, then you can respect your spouse. And if you can respect your spouse, then you can respect the relationship. And respecting the relationship puts on the table from day one, what are you willing to do and what are you not willing to do? And if you start off as a woman doing everything for a man, everything, then that leaves you always doing everything. If you go into it saying, hey, we're going to do this together, we're going to grow together, we're going to grow old together, we're going to do these things together, then you look at it as a partnership and a relationship together, and you grow that way. And you do have your fights. Don't get me wrong. You have some fights. I know I have had mine. But you also have to realize that you have to be responsible in the choices that you make when you become an adult. And that's it.
You know, we talk about this a lot of times, is it that a lot of, especially the females, go into a marriage thinking about it's going to be like a fairy tale marriage like they see on television, you know, like the soap operas and, you know, Dallas and all that good stuff. yeah. You know, so they really not having realistic expectations as far as what they
that's my whole
they're
premise.
Really going to be, what marriage really is going to be like.
Well, you know, some women today, and not all women, but some women today are looking for someone to save them, are looking for someone to pay their bills, someone to take care of them, someone to do for them everything. And until you become a strong person and can stand up on your own two feet, you shouldn't want to include anybody else in your mix until you get it right yourself. You got to be able to be self-sufficient on your own. It means have your own apartment, drive your own car, have your own job, your own grocery shopping. And then once you get everything in order that way, then you can let someone into your life because you are secure in who you are. But ladies today don't do that. They do not do that.
Brilliant.
They look for a man to handle the thing.
I agree with that. I totally agree with you there because, that, you know, most of the time, if you're not providing what a person wants in a relationship or what their goals were from the jump start, they going to the next highest bidder.
But did they take time to sit down and set those goals and boundaries together? Or was it just something one expected of the other one in an unspoken type thing?
Most of the time it's an unspoken type thing, man.
Yeah, most people really don't mature and really know what comprises a good marriage until they're probably in their 40s. By that time, they've gone through a lot of heartache, and they don't generally sit down, and they don't generally outline their boundaries and what annoys them and what they think the responsibilities are of each partner. They don't do it, and they shouldn't.
That would be the correct way to handle the situation. But you have these ladies out here that are waiting for people to take care of them.
Of course.
It's not going to happen. It's not. It's
absolutely.
Just not going to happen.
Okay. Or
they look for the man that has everything and they can take it from him.
There you go.
You
better come back more often.
Hold on. Let me bring Ebony in.
Remember you said I was a feminist.
I forgive you. Come back more often.
Hold on. Let me bring Ebony in.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Miss Ebony. How are you doing?
I'm good. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello, Ebony.
Hi.
How are you?
Don't pretend like you have to be made. It's like, uh-oh.
Oh, well, you know, every time I know that you're coming in, I know there's trouble. So what are you talking about? You know that.
Okay.
Always trouble from across the pond.
Yeah, I love to give you trouble, so don't worry about it. My pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the topic tonight. I've been listening for a while, actually. I got in from work and I fell asleep. And then I woke up and I've been listening ever since.
Why didn't you come in?
Good. I was tired, so I had my headphones on and I was laying in bed just listening. So I feel like the topic interesting, very interesting.
So what do you want to say?
So what do you think?
Mm. I agree with the lady.
Oh, what was that background noise?
Not for me.
I think that's Miss Lady doing her business.
Go ahead,
Bobby.
What you have to say?
Mute me.
Oh, okay.
I'm on
my Bluetooth. Okay, she on her Bluetooth.
Oh, okay.
What do you want to say, Ed?
I believe that, you know, people need to take more responsibility for themselves in relationships and what they want. You know, be clear about what they want, and you know, just I agree. I agree with that whole thing of like being taken care of, but I think there's also a thing about taking care of each other. You know,
true.
You have to. It's not one-sided.
You
take care of the person, and in return, you know, they take care of you, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think as long as things are shared between you, and it doesn't have to be equally shared, but you know that you know you're both willing to put your share in to make the relationship work, you know, your share of effort to, you know, and that could be, it doesn't have to be like all about niceties. It could be just, you know, if you there are things to be done, actively done, to keep it working, because it is like a little business almost, then I think you should both be willing.
A little business.
Thing.
That's the first time I heard it called that.
God, you know, that's how women think today, you know, partnership means something like a fiduciary trust.
I didn't say partnership. I said a little investment is like a little business.
Yeah, it's like a little business.
When I say little business, it's if you want a future, right, together, so you're building that future, whatever it is.
Okay.
What?
All right, who's driving?
That's probably Vernon.
I don't know. That sounds like it, but I don't think so.
No?
I'm not coming to flush the head down the loop.
Oh, Lord.
Ebony, what do you think is the major cause of most marriage breakups?
Oh, selfishness. People being selfish.
Well, true. And who do you think is more selfish more often? Do you think the husband, or do you think?
Oh,
well, she's never answered the question.
Why is it so important to you who's more selfish?
Oh, for God's sake! If you don't want to answer the question, no problem.
Why is it so important?
No, don't worry about it. No problem. Because I know you're going to use Michael's procedure of evading questions.
No, I just asked you a question.
I asked you a question. You don't want to answer it, so it's okay.
Just chill out.
Oh, just chill out.
Women can be more selfish, but, you know, we're known to be more selfish. Maybe we can be because we want more sometimes, and there is that whole I want everything, I want, I get that. But men can also be selfish because, you know, I mean, it's a conversation I was having with someone last night where I can only say, and this is a personal experience, that someone can, one of the relationships I had with someone left me feeling like, you know, when someone just, I don't know what you would call it, when they kind of just don't care. It's not like even that they don't care that you say they're selfish. They're neglectful.
Would you say insensitive?
Maybe insensitive, but just, insensitive as well, but neglectful. When you neglect that person. So, you know, you go about your business doing stuff, but, you know, for example, someone told me a story of someone who she was dating recently who said, right, we're in a relationship. And then he just disappeared off for 3-4 weeks. She didn't hear back from him. And he called her up. He said, oh, yeah, I'm busy working. I went to Spain. I went here. I went there. And she was like, in all that time, could you not have called me once? You know, just to say, how are you doing? What's going on for you? You know, where she was trying to call him all the time, getting no responses. And she said to me, what do I do with that? Because I can't say, it wasn't a lie that he was working, but that's like neglect.
Well, that depends upon the relationship. I mean, sometimes men and women get into a relationship and one of them thinks of them as being in the relationship and having the relationship as being more involved than the other person does.
Absolutely, and I think that's why it's so important to kind of, you know, make it clear what it is you're looking for.
Yeah, I agree.
And what it is you both want to achieve and what you're not that you should be living off expectations, but, you know, so the person knows who they're working with.
Now, what are your expectations of Americans going over to England?
Oh, anyway, we're not even going there. Miss Renee, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, what do you think about Ebony's statement?
Oh, God, that's right. Just cut Joe off, man.
That's right, because we know Joe go crazy.
We know.
I agree with what she's saying as far as being neglectful. Sometimes we as people, we get caught up in situations where we go through our day-to-day life and we forget that we have to take time out to spend time with our partner, our spouse, or our girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. And you become neglectful. Just a simple phone call sometimes is all someone needs. But women, I think, get a little more emotional on that half than men do because we get attached easier than men do.
relationship is farther along.
Oh, you know what? I'm so glad you mentioned that word.
I agree with that. We
but
do get
attached.
Yeah, attached.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're emotionally attached. That's not a problem.
Okay, well, here's my question. Can you go into a relationship with someone limiting how attached you're going to be to someone?
No, that's rubbish. That is rubbish.
No.
I agree. I agree.
You have to realize that when you become a relationship, you don't start off as a relationship. You start off as just two people meeting each other. But when you become a relationship, that's not date two. That's down the line when you get to know each other a little bit. So I think that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I'm glad Michael isn't here. Otherwise, we'd have World War III again.
Oh, wow. Where is Michael?
Oh, no.
Oh, Michael,
oh,
man.
He's gone.
Yeah, he's gone for the day.
Oh,
my God. Every week.
Every damn day.
Every day. Oh, my God.
Every day.
I think it's so interesting when you hear people say, I'm going to limit how I will get attached or not attached to someone.
I know.
I can play all these games with my mind about not taking you on and not seriously, you know, integrating myself into the relationship with you. Really, then just don't have the relationship. Stay out of relationships.
Right.
Don't try to get close to someone.
Ebony, you've been flying around on the fringes, haven't you? Because you were not involved in that discussion with Michael, Eric, and myself.
No, I was listening that
night. Yeah, you were flying around up there in the stratosphere.
Well, I'm working. So
Ebony listens and doesn't let anybody know. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do, okay. Babe. You'd be surprised where I am.
I'm not surprised.
I know she was listening.
I didn't know she was listening.
I mean, because... You know, I don't understand that concept. You know, how can you do that? You know, go into a relationship and be like, well, I'm only going to give 50% of my chance of me and that's it. You know,
I don't understand that myself. I don't understand how you can commit yourself or you're supposed to commit yourself to somebody and you really, really love them and you really give to them and you want to give all of yourself to them. And then if something happens, if you have a minor breakup or a major breakup, or you can just say, no problem.
What?
Well, yeah.
If you're present in a relationship, and that means that, you know, when I'm with someone, I'm not thinking about, you know, the washing, the kids, the this, the that. I am thinking me, you, I'm 100% in that space with you, focused on that relationship and whatever it is we're talking about or doing, then I'm going to become attached because over time, you know, that interaction is going to bring me closer to you. So whatever you know, that attachment is not a negative thing unless you're afraid of, you know, forming attachments in relationships. But, you know, if you're afraid of getting close to people because you've got stories in your head about being hurt, about what that might mean for you, then, of course, you're going to have to play a game with yourself about attachment. Right?
Well, if that's the case, then why even worry about trying to get involved with anybody?
That's my story. Leave it alone.
There you go.
There you go.
You know, until you conquer those demons.
Yeah.
Well, I think everybody wants a companion. I mean, we weren't meant to just be single alone. We were meant to be together. So I think everybody wants a companion. I mean, I don't think anybody chooses just to be alone. I think you push people away. And you keep your brick wall around you so that nobody will enter your fortress.
No, let me disagree with you. I think people do choose. There are a growing number of people who do choose to be alone rather than get themselves into relationships which are hurtful again.
Well, that's true because
every relationship is not hurtful.
No, every relationship has the potential to be hurtful because we're all afraid of rejection.
Yeah. I have girlfriends who will not date and have been single for a while, and they just don't go there because they're afraid of her.
Yeah, there are a lot of men like that too.
But isn't that a part of being, you know, isn't that a part of being in a relationship? Doesn't that come with the territory sometimes?
Yeah, it does. But that's painful.
To help you learn and so-called be a better mate for the next person, maybe.
Well, you can be a better mate, but still you might find somebody who's not as good of a mate as you are, and you might have made the wrong choice for whatever reason. and then here you are getting hurt again. There are a lot of people
well,
that feel
you,
like that.
If you know what went wrong the first time, you know, hopefully
that's
you will have some.
Well, yeah, that's the purpose of having boundaries set up there when you're feeling that, you know what, I'm feeling for her or I'm feeling for him, and now let's see if we can take it to the next level. But let's put our boundaries out there so that we can see if we're really on the same page together as opposed to just plunging in like we did when we were kids.
Right. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I think to really find that person that you want to share your life with, it takes a certain amount of risk. You've got to be able to go out in the playground and play the game and play and not have fear hold you back from really experiencing that person to the fullest. And it's a risk. You just got to accept that, you know, like anything you do in life, walking out of your front door is a risk. You know, someone could run you down. Someone could come right into your house and take you. You don't even have to leave the house, right? So everything's a risk, and love is a risk. And people need to sometimes know that. You're risking everything. If you feel it's a risk, that's what you're taking. You know, you're risking trying to find someone now and find love and all the things that go with it. And it can go wrong. It can and even when it's gone wrong, you absolutely can have a great time. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean because that person doesn't decide they're going to stay with you for the rest of your life that it's wrong. Some people are just there for the journey. Some people are just here to teach you stuff and for you to take you a certain distance. Other people may be there for the duration. So, you know, if you start setting it up before it actually happens, you'll never go out there and put your foot in the water. What you need to do is to just put your foot in the water. You know, be clear about what you want. Be clear about, you know, where you think that journey could lead for you in terms of, like, what is it do I want? You know, where do I want to go? Am I looking for short term? Am I looking for long term? Or am I just looking to have fun right now? And, you know, if you're afraid of being hurt, maybe the thing to start off with is just saying, I want to have some fun right now and see what fun feels like. And then when you've had that fun, and if that person, like you, feels like they want to take it a little bit further, then you negotiate all the way and you keep it going as long as you want to keep it going. But just don't have all those boundaries and stuff in your mind about what could possibly happen, because you really do not know.
Well, I don't know what you mean by not keeping the boundaries in your mind. I think the boundaries.
Well, don't have stuff in your mind that says it can only go this far or it might.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, as long as you haven't got that, look, you're going to have a great time.
I think it's
being in love is the best thing in the world. I love it. I absolutely recommend it.
Yeah, well, most women fall in love with love. The thing is,
I don't know if it's necessarily falling in love with love.
No. The idea sounds really nice and fairy tale-ish, but the thing is, people have to be more discerning in what they are going to see in the other person in terms of values. They have to determine, is this person really right for me? As opposed to, is this person stimulating me? And I hope that this person and I can make it together. I don't, you know, I think that's fairy tale.
What I'm in love with is the meeting of the minds. When you meet that person with exactly what you say, what you want, and you both are on the same page, that is like the greatest thing you could do in the world.
Of course.
That's what I love. I'm not talking about the fairy tale thing the emotions and what you feel. Come on, you know, emotions go and emotions come and
all
go.
Right.
The future come and go.
No,
but
I see.
It's
okay. Well, the only thing I can say is I know my boo stimulates my mind. All day, every day. So
what's
I know I'm good.
What? What?
No, I say my boo stimulates my mind. I ain't got to worry about that.
Your boo.
That's what I said.
It's not that hard. People say it's so hard to find, but sometimes it is. I can say
it's very hard to find because 70% of marriages, first marriages, break up. And it only used to be around 30%, 40%, something like 50 years ago. 70% first marriages. And if my memory serves me correctly, second marriages break up even worse.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. You know
they
what?
Wow.
But they
I'm
going to
tell you why.
Now.
Because a lot of people go into their second marriage trying to overdo what they did in the first marriage, which causes more problems. Instead of just sitting down and having that conversation I'd be talking about, they're about to think we shouldn't be having. That's all I'm going to say.
I think conversation is the only way to go about it, because this is my second one, and I think it's lasted a lot longer. If you have lack of communication, lack of honesty, lack of commitment between the two parties, then, yeah, it's going to fail. But if you go in it with the idea of commitment and understanding and conversation, then I think it could be a great thing. I think it would be a lot more successful than the first one.
Miss Renee, I'm glad I have you on the phone, because I'm asking you this question. We got a heated butt. But I was told I was wrong by this one. Do you think, have you and your husband at times sit down and say, babe, you know, how can we make our relationship better? You know, have y'all sat down and done that at any time during your marriage?
We have.
Now, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you the question. At the time that you asked that, did either one of you automatically think something was wrong with your marriage?
I don't think my husband ever thought that there was really something wrong. I think he just wanted to go and fix little issues that he saw that was coming up.
What it means is, have you and your husband ever just sat down when everything was going right? There were no issues whatsoever.
There's never a time.
Huh?
There's never a time in a relationship where everything's always going right.
Have you ever done it at a time when there was no problem, but you just said, you know what, I just want to make our relationship work a little bit better. Let me find out from her, or let me find out from him what I can do to please him even more. Have you ever done that? That's what he's saying.
Yes, we have done that.
Oh, okay, Eric.
It is a situation that you come upon. That there's,
we got people
and
who
you
agree
realize,
with
that. You have to realize that there's never, ever a time that you don't have some kind of issue that's going on. Now, do you address that one issue at that time? No. You just deal with it at hand. Okay, you know, I'm feeling like I'm not doing the best that I need to be doing, or that I feel that there could be some more things that need to be added to the relationship. And that's how you talk about it. But
you know what, Ebony, we never asked, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We've never asked Ebony that question.
We haven't? No, we haven't.
Oh, well, what do you think, Ebony?
Well, I think Joe should come to the UK, and then I will answer the question for him.
All right. The same old diversion. Never wants to answer a question.
You know what? Hey, you never.
I'll talk to Joe when he comes to the UK.
Because he's not going to make it, okay? And, and now I've got a new boo. It's going to be a little bit of a threesome, so never mind.
Uh-oh.
What threesome?
You have to come and go to Montana where that's legal.
or in Utah where
Ebony.
It's legal.
Ebony, you got to make your trip. You're not coming to UK.
No.
I've given up on him. Don't worry.
Okay. What do you know?
Wow.
Yeah, but answer the question, Ebony. Do you ever think...
I think yes. There is a time you could sit down and have a conversation of what's happening in the relationship. I don't think I would frame it the way that you guys are framing it, i.e. there's something wrong.
No, that's not the way we would phrase it. We're just saying things are going so well that we want to make things even better, so that perhaps an issue would not have to come up if we took care of a pending issue that's not even there yet.
Okay.
Whatever works for you, if it's fine. It's not something that I've ever been involved with someone doing. I'm very impressed with someone's relationship as well. Make it even better. I don't know. Like the guy I'm dating at the moment said the relationship is great. And here are some things. Sounds similar, maybe. Here are some things I'd like to do for you. I don't know if that's similar.
That's similar.
It was like, okay, and that was really nice. What he actually did was really nice, but I can't share that with you guys.
Okay.
Oh, she just wants to bring it up so she can be a mystery woman. Oh, you stop.
No, Lord.
Oh, for God's sake. Feminist tricks. Not feminist. I mean feminine tricks. Feminine woman.
All I can say is, don't come on, show me.
Yeah, all I can say is, yada yada, but let me not go into it any further, she's saying. Yeah, okay. Oh, you think you're so slick.
Okay, we're gonna shut it down. Well, you got something to say, Vernon?
Hi, oh, I'm hey, how you doing, Ebony?
I am good. And hi, Goosey. Goosey looks there as well.
Say what again?
I was saying he's Goofy on.
No,
Goofy left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's okay. All right, well, we're going to slow it down right there because we got another one, a good one scheduled tomorrow.
Oh, what do we got?
Tomorrow is why do marriages end in divorce? So
oh,
kind
cool.
of situation for what we've been talking about. but as we always do, we're going to let y'all get your last word, huh? So get your last words in. So, Ebony, go ahead, your last words, darling.
Shall I tell you what I'm doing on my show tomorrow night? It's after yours, I think. So if you guys jump in, we need to talk to our children about relationships. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, very
tonight.
Good. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I've got the psychotherapist with me tomorrow night and also a lady who is a parental consultant. So she speaks to parents about good ways to parent their children. So she's going to do a little we've got a little recording because she can't come on live. But, yeah, she's going to be answering that question, you know, how do we communicate with our children? What are some of the things, particularly if you're in a relationship and you've past relationships broken up, then you have a new partner, how do you address that with your children? You know, how do you speak to them? How do you speak to them? All that kind of stuff. It's really useful stuff for those people who are in new relationships. So,
all right.
But a great topic tonight, guys. I was listening, and I have to say, I love your show, Mr. Talk. Well done.
Why, thank you, Ebony.
That's okay.
All righty. See you tomorrow. It's a shame that your child psychiatrist can't be on there, so I can grill her about this parenting thing. But it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. We'll catch you. We'll get her again.
Well, Will's going to be on. Will will be on about. So he'll be on tomorrow night. But she won't be on. But she will be. Our recording will be on. So you'll
hear. Okay. All right. We got you. All right, Ebony. Thank you. And see you tomorrow.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Right. All right. Bye-bye. All right, Vernon.
Great show, man. Hey, covered a lot of good ground today. A lot of good topics. A lot of good. I mean, I just, you know, if a lot of this stuff with relationships could be terminated quick if people realize that, you know, from the jump and started trying to hold on to people that they know it is not what they're looking for. But just because of certain reasons, maybe they look a certain way to them, but as far as for them meeting up to the standards that they want, they don't meet them standards, so why stay with that person? You might as well go ahead and terminate that relationship instead of dragging it out 1, 2, and 3 years and making everybody miserable in the end. You might as well go ahead and, you know, end that thing right off the bat. You know, you can save yourself a whole lot of time, Eric.
Yeah, good point. Good point, Mr. Vernon.
But that's all I want to say.
All right, tell your cousin he missed a good one today.
Yeah, I'm with Vernon. Those are going to be my words when you get to me.
You're right, Joe.
They are.
All right.
I'm going to talk a little longer today.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, Vernon. See you tomorrow, man.
All right.
Miss Lady, you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. What's your final words, darling?
This is Renee.
No, not you, Renee. Not you.
Okay.
I'm talking to Miss Lady. Miss Lady? Okay. Miss Lady? 1, 2, 3. All right. All right. So.
All right. Like I'm agreeing with Vernon. I think people, when you're young, you really don't know what a relationship is about. When you get older, you start to learn. And I think when you're trying to define what your values are, and you can sit down with that other prospective partner, and you can find out from him or her, what is it that annoys you? What is it that you're willing to do? What is it that you're willing to commit yourself to? You will save a lot of time as opposed to just plunging into that relationship because She looks good, smells good, smiles well, has very good qualities that you like, but you're very well aware of her bad qualities. So, yeah, I think sitting down and having a nice, cold talk is probably one of the better ways of saving yourself from plunging into a bad relationship. That's it.
Wow. Good one, Joe. More than you usually say. Okay. All right. Thanks. See you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Good. And for my very special guest host, Miss Renee, first time caller to the show. We're gonna hopefully she come back and we make her part of the crew. But anyway, your last words, Miss Renee.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. But you know, I think it all deals with. You have to deal with the content of the character of the person that you're wanting to be in a relationship with. If you don't know who they really are from the inside out, then you're going to have a rough way to go the whole time in a relationship, being married, girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever. So you have to deal with the content of the character of the person that you're dealing with. And once you come between like minds, then I think your relationship will be successful. But if you try to sneak or hide or lie or cheat, it's not going to be anything that's worth being in. So, you know, dealing with the relationship that I've been in as long as I have been, sometimes it's a good thing and sometimes it's a bad thing. But when you come together with like minds, it works out for the best. So that's all I have to say.
All right. Wow. All right, Miss Renee, once again, thank you and welcome to the show. Hey, anytime you want to, just let us and just come on in. Trust me.
Okay.
We'll be
okay.
here.
Thank you, Eric.
All right. Thank you. All right, y'all, another great show here on Let's Talk. I told y'all, man, Soapbox Monday be off the chain. It's Monday, but, hey, we always have a lot to talk about. All right. Once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. y'all hear the timer? See, for those who don't think I have the timer on. Do not forget to send any comments to ericletstalk@gmail.com. I am on Twitter at driven4frlife62. And, of course, that's my Facebook page. Drop by, leave a message. Suggestions for any topics for the show at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. Now, here's the spot where I usually have this big, long closing, and I say something profound. Well, y'all know what? I ran out of profoundness. So, you know, when it comes to relationships are work. They're work. And a lot of us go into a relationship thinking it's going to be hunky-dory, we're never going to have any problems, and everything is going to work itself out. Well, nothing works itself out. Nothing works itself out. You have to be willing to put in the work. But before you put in the work or even decide that you're going to be with someone, do a self-check. Now, and when I say self-check, I mean check yourself. Say to yourself, am I the kind of person I want my mate to be? Am I bringing those qualities to the relationship that I want my mate to have? Now, if you can answer any of these questions yes, then by all means, go for it. Go for it. But remember, even if it's yes now, later on in the relationship, it may change to no. Because everything is always revolving. As people, we are always changing. So, with that being said, self-evaluation is the key to any successful relationship. A lot of times we blame the other person for our problems in a relationship when actually it's us, ourselves. We bring the drama and the unnecessary stress to a relationship because we fail to sit down and do the necessary things to keep us at the top of our game. You can't expect anybody else to be at the top of their game if you're not at the top of yours. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. All right? So, oh, my goodness. In other words, don't forget self-evaluation. You know, in order for you to have, in order for your partner to be where you want them to be, make sure you're there also. And that's the show for today. Join us tomorrow with the topic being why will be why marriages end in divorce. Of course, we touched on it a little bit today, but, you know, we're going to hit it hard tomorrow with statistics and all that other good, great stuff. Remember to keep smiling, show appreciation, and you'd be surprised at the appreciation you get shown back to you. You know, tell people you love them. You know, hug them, smile at them, kiss. It's not that much. And you'd be surprised at how good it makes you feel. Okay, forgive with an open heart. And also remember, if your heart is not open and clear, there's no way you haven't forgiven yourself. There's no way you can forgive anybody else. All right. Well, y'all, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 12 p.m. Pacific time. Y'all have a good day. Enjoy your Monday. And we're going to go get out of here with the song of the day, Pay Attention, from Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. Until then, y'all. I'm out of here.
If you want to be somebody, if you want to go somewhere, you better wake up.